Remember when we all got drunk? I ended up with two broke thumbs. Oh my god, I felt so dumb. Lucky me. I wrote a song that no one knows. I played a show and no one showed. Oh my god, I felt so alone. Lucky me.
Bad days made 100 good stories. 100 good stories make me interesting at parties.
100 bad days made 100 good stories. 100 good stories make me interesting at parties. Yeah, no, I ain't scared of you. No, I ain't scared of you no more. No, I ain't scared of you. No, I ain't scared of you no more.
Live from the landing strip, it's a 200 and something edition. Where are we at?
The WrestleMania
329.
329th edition of Houston Wrestling Radio. This is Abel.
Yeah, Chris.
This is Arnold.
My man! Yeah.
And thank you so much for tuning in, guys. We very much appreciate it. If you're watching us live, which a few of you already are, thank you. Welcome. Tell your friends. If you're not watching us live, well, you can still interact with us.
Sorry for your mother.
You can interact with us on Facebook, facebook.com/HoustonWrestlingRadio, or on Twitter. If you're watching us live now, log into your YouTube Google account, and you can chat along with us. And I have you pulled up here on my old handy-dandy smartphone, and you can, you know, talk shit, fact-check us, ask us questions, whatever. Say hi, whatever, and we'll get you involved in the show as best as I can. So,
Match of the night from TakeOver Brooklyn 5.
It was just called TakeOver New York, by the way.
Yeah, so fast. Brooklyn, yeah, so five. Fast. Aleister Black and Ricochet versus the War Raiders.
Defend yourself to them. It's been months. Tell them.
That match had everything I wanted without anything needed to be done, really, because I mean, there was no build, there was no rivalry, it was just a match. It was just one of those, hey, who are these guys? If you don't watch NXT, what's going on here? Let me turn this on. By the end of the match, you're just like, oh my fucking god, that was just bananas, and it was even more than just spots. And that's what I loved about how they're incorporating Ricochet and Aleister Black, they're evolving their styles to flow with because this was their last hurrah on NXT, which, you know, NXT, ROH for New Japan, spot fest, spot monkeys, you know,
for the most part.
Once you get up to the big leagues, you either have to change your style or morph or adapt, you know?
Yeah.
They're adapting. They're changing everything around, not everything, but they're adjusting. And it's great to see, just to see Ricochet use different aspects besides the air.
Yes.
To see Aleister Black grapple more. To see just both of them just ascend and use their characters a lot more. When they first put them together, the tag team, I was like, that's stupid. By the time this 4-day of wrestling was over, I was like, man, I'm kind of bummed that Spider is. And I'm kind of bummed that they're splitting them up next week because I know they are. But at the same time, dude, it was just so good. But the fucking War Raiders, man. Every time I think that, I think they're just B-plus players. Every time that I think that they're just right there, enough placeholders, kind of gimmicky, they just proved to me how good they are and how better they're becoming. This, the story that the match told and the emotion that I went through on the opening match of the card.
Yeah.
I was just like, I dare any other match to do better than that.
Oh.
I'm going to jump onto something real good you said.
Okay. I'd like to, too, at some point.
It's the biggest benefit of actually starting a pay-per-view rather than ending it. We'll get to the WrestleMania side of things in a minute. You have the fever pitch from the moment that you know the crowd's live on the network or live on pay-per-view or live on television. That first match, you have them like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there was one thing that happened in that match. Well, actually, two things happened in that match. One that y'all didn't see, but y'all might have heard. Y'all might have heard like a snap. Like maybe towards the end of the match, one of the cables on the truss that holds up the lights broke.
Oh, really?
And was hanging down like right next to the fans.
Really?
And wow. One of the fans grabbed the cable and held onto it for the rest of the night so that it wouldn't go anywhere.
Wow.
Really?
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Inside source.
Wow. You were there. You son
I was
of a
there
bitch.
In the nosebleed. So I saw when I was looking at it like, that's not supposed to be that way. There was a point in the match where after they beat the ever-loving shit out of each other, Aleister and Roe get tagged in, and they're staring at each other all like, oh, mm-hmm. You want some more?
Yeah.
And then they're like, Like, they couldn't walk straight. They couldn't stand up straight. They couldn't focus. Like, they were selling the fact that they've been beating the fuck out of each other, but neither one of them are done, so they have to fucking keep going. So, and the way they stammered that way physically, I was like, man, I don't see that shit in WWE anymore.
Yeah.
And the commentary, since you didn't see, the commentary focused on that, about how neither one of them could keep up because they've already so fucking thing, but they're trying their asses off. And that just builds up even more. Now it makes everything better.
Yeah.
So, like, he just made that story come to life. And just, again, a match that didn't have a story, that's missing Abel's key ingredient to his recipe. It didn't matter. To me, it didn't matter. I was just like, dude,
they were making a story.
They made a story in the match.
Yeah.
You would think by the end of that match, these people hated each other because the way they were fighting.
And I was hoping that the fact that we didn't get too much build from the teams leading up to TakeOver was going to be a negative.
Mm-hmm.
I was hoping it wasn't the case because it's like a week after right when they won the Dusty Cup,
mm-hmm.
that's when we saw them against War Raiders face to face. Then the next week was the go-home show. And that was it.
That was it.
We didn't get much of anything. So to your point about story, it's like, man, I'm hoping that's
– anything yet.
Well, because that's what you want to do. That's what you want. Yeah.
That's what you're going to say.
Yeah.
Fuck you guys.
I was hoping that wouldn't be the case. And it wasn't the fact that there wasn't story going into it. Like, they just clicked the pen as soon as that bell rang. Yep. They just started going, like, writing the story. Mm-hmm. And it was fucking good, dude.
No, as far as I'm concerned, there wasn't a flaw in that match.
I have one, but it's after.
Okay.
But before I say that, what do you think about this tag, about his match of the night?
There was something you mentioned in there, Arnold, about stuff that you don't see them normally do. And one of those things is something we do normally see out of Hansen. Hansen is the agile guy, even though he's the bigger
flyer.
Guy. Yeah, he's the high flyer. And there was one point where the high flyer from the War Raiders versus the high flyer of Blackishay were in there at the same time. It was Ricochet and Hansen, and they're both going at it. Ricochet picked up Hansen, that fat ass. Mm-hmm. He got him up, and they're like, whoa, don't underestimate the strength of Ricochet. Mm-hmm. And, like, I don't remember if he did Samoan drop or what, but, like, he had him up on his shoulders and did a thing.
Yeah.
That was impressive as fuck. I don't think I could find an exact pinpoint flaw other than the thing that I would normally say, which is, oh, it didn't have the story going in, which, yeah, I get it. You two already said it before I could say it, that's a lazy take to have, but it's still a take
that
I'm going to have.
It's a take.
It's a take. And I am going to say that about this match. But everything else was perfection with this fucking
enough
match.
Perfection.
I loved it.
Enough perfection that it eclipses your flaw?
If I'm talking about just the match... Just within the match, yes. But if I'm trying to compare it to other stuff on the card, other stuff from the weekend, maybe not. Okay. You asked me before we started recording, do I have a hard and fast match of the week? And I said, I can be swayed. This is one of the matches that I could be swayed on. It's not my pick. It's not.
Mm-hmm.
But if you two can convince me, which you're doing a good job of, I might be convinced to pick this instead of, should I get to it?
Not yet.
Okay.
What was your gripe at the end?
The only flaw I have isn't between the bells, which is why I'm not going to harp on it too much as opposed to someone else on this table. But I feel like we lost the last of the NXT Aleister Black because Aleister doesn't do the Aleister doesn't do the tag teaming stuff. Aleister doesn't do the handshaking. He doesn't talk English. He doesn't talk straight. He doesn't He's not supposed to be like the rest of us. We are not equal to him. Mm-hmm. So for him to like drop down just to be on the team with Ricochet, and then for him to drop down again to shake hands and hug, and then to console poor little baby Rick while he's crying his eyes out because it's his last night. Wow.
That was the look of a man who sees how EC3 and Tyler Breeze got treated on the main roster.
Yes. Yes.
But we'll get to the main roster.
But that's my only gripe to pick. But
it was a Madison Square Garden click moment for you, basically.
Yeah.
All right. Some people in the live chat are chiming in on here.
We already did the
Hector says, intro. Hector says, "Who invited the Mexican Bubba Ray Dudley?" He's talking about you, Chris.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're glitchy.
Oh, we're frozen.
Oh shit.
Gotta let it go.
Oh shit! Hey, just died over here.
Oh boy.
Okay. Well, it came back. It's back. Okay. Hector also says takeover match tonight, Black and Ricochet versus the War Raiders. So he agrees. He agrees with you two. So
I didn't say it was my match of the night. I piggybacked on him.
Yeah, it's the first one that comes to mind right now because I'll go ahead and say this. I can be swayed on every single match that on takeover.
You know what? Every single match on takeover was phenomenal.
Yeah.
It was.
There was one match that I thought was being overhyped.
We'll get to that,
but I think there's a couple matches being underhyped.
But I watched it on a newborn fucking sleep, as far as being deprived of from Lucas being in and out. So I'm like, I watched it the next morning, before work, and I go into work on 8 on Saturday, so that tells you enough.
Yeah.
So I had to watch it again, and I'm like, okay, it deserves the hype that it's getting, but I don't think it gives more than what it is. But that's
you already gave your match of the night.
Yes.
My match tonight, 2 out of 3 falls. Gargano versus Adam Cole.
Defend yourself to them.
Defend yourself and sway me.
Okay. I don't think that between the bells, there was a flaw. Ooh. I know that there is going to be one flaw that you like to nitpick on, but I knew that this was going to happen, and I knew it had to happen. I was looking forward to a bit to happening, which was shenanigans, interference. This is 2 out of 3 falls. You could waste a fall on shenanigan and interference. So, yes, I want to see the fucking Undisputed Era go out there. Yes, I want to see Johnny Gargano overcome the Undisputed Era and still wind up winning. I want to see that, and that is what I saw. So I'm cool with it, even though I know you'll probably say, oh, shenanigans, no. But the shenanigans actually didn't determine the end of the match, which was great. And the thing that this match has above the tag match, for me, very predictable story. So much closure. Finally, Johnny Wrestling is Johnny winning and not Johnny loser. Finally, he has the title. Candice LeRae goes out there. Fucking Ciampa goes out there. They have the big fucking the tear in the eye moment that I felt. Fuck, shit. I had a tear in the eye, too.
My fucking heart dropped. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Because you feel for
Ciampa.
Oh, for Ciampa. That was his moment. That was supposed to be him. Yeah,
that was supposed to be him. So, but he had already won it. This is finally, Johnny Wrestling can no longer be looked at and be told you're Johnny losing, which we've had as a criticism for Johnny Wrestling for a long, long time. But he finally fucking won the big one.
He was the Sami Zayn of NXT for a while.
In a convincing way. Mm-hmm. I believe that he won this. I think that he won it definite. 2 out of 3 falls. No questions asked. He should be the winner. He should be the champ. Now, whenever old Ciampa comes back later on down the line, if he does, but when he does, whoo, shit, that's going to be fire. Mm-hmm. So I am looking forward to everything going in and out of the story from this match. And between the bells, mwah, magnificent. Lots of nice little moves and flippy dippies and counters and counter rest holds and chains and big eye impact moves and flying and oh, my God.
You are wrong on so many
reasons. Tell me why I'm wrong. Daniel Price, what's up, man? Welcome. We got Daniel, Price. Michael, Robert, Hector. Everybody's
the gang.
That might have been tied for the worst match of the night for me.
What the fuck?
So here's where I'm going to start.
All right.
As a wrestling fan in the nosebleeds, I can appreciate whatever Johnny Gargano went through to finally get his moment. But remember, story. 3 weeks ago, Ciampa and Gargano were about to eat each other's babies.
Okay.
So you have to be continuous with your fucking story. I could not suspend my disbelief enough to think that one guy can beat four guys. What could have helped was if we already knew Ciampa was out there, have his music hit, walk out with crutches, give the illusion that he's going to continue to turn on Gargano, because that's the story that they left us with. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what they left us with on NXT.
I haven't watched any NXT before Mania. What were we supposed to believe?
Well, they were teaming together as DIY mm-hmm. in the Dusty Rhodes Classic. Reluctantly, by the time they got to the second round, they were coming out first to DIY round. Music.
They lost in the first round, the Undisputed Era.
No, they didn't. They made it to the second round. Yeah, in the first round, they won. But they were coming out to each other's entrances. In the second round, they came out to DIY music, and they were less reluctant or like, all right, I remember this. Okay.
And they lost.
And then they lost. And it's like, oh, fuck. But
Ciampa was going to turn on Gargano again, but Gargano knew it was coming, and Gargano turned on Ciampa as a baby face.
But right there, that enough there was enough for me to be like, all right. He's going to be the babyface. You know, Johnny Wrestling's going to be the babyface coming out of this. They're probably going to put this a little bit behind them. They might have some talking here and there. When Ciampa went out there, I didn't think, hey, that's breaking kayfabe. That's the fourth wall shit. I didn't feel that. I felt like within the confines of the story itself, it makes a little bit of sense. All right, now that I'm all fucked up and I'm not coming back and you had a moment, no. You know what? Okay, brother. We finally did it.
To me, it still doesn't make sense. That goes back to my original gripe that I couldn't believe one guy could beat all four.
Now Robert Medlin's in here. So, everybody's here tonight.
Wow. Like I said, if Ciampa would have came out on crutches, pretended to keep the story going that he was going to turn on Gargano and actually help him clear out Undisputed Era, number one, that would have made more sense storyline on the episodes of NXT that I've been watching leading up to this.
Yeah.
Number two, it would have left the story to continue, because Ciampa's been complaining and pointing it out for months that Gargano can't win shit without Ciampa. And guess what? Gargano would have won the belt with Ciampa. Mm-hmm. So if, God forbid, if for some reason Ciampa does come back, you can keep right on fucking going. And that
and he won the belt without Ciampa. He won the belt without him. He won the big one without him.
So the inconsistency in the story. And the other thing that was false advertising.
Complexity doesn't equal inconsistency.
The other flaw that I had in this match, again.
You know how many times I fought with this motherfucker?
They hooked me on something and they pulled something else. They were showing video packages of both of these kids training and working on their endurance and trying to figure out how they're going to beat the other. Dude, the first fall wasn't even over, and they're both huffing and puffing. They're tired as fuck. Come on now.
That first fall, I'll go ahead and say it was boring as fuck to me.
Really?
I thought it was really bad. I thought I saw what they were trying to do. The shit I hate about ROH. The shit I hate about any matches that take forever to feel each other out the first, 10 minutes of a match.
Mm-hmm. I'll give that a break because it's the first time of those two against each other.
Yeah, yeah.
But even then,
I was like, all right, come on. So second fall, I loved. Love that Adam Cole immediately tapped. I love that he's like, oh, you know what? Conserve my energy. Mm-hmm. So, I'm getting, choked out, but for a little bit because I need to fucking, be strong. That's fine. By the third fall, I was telling myself, damn, the main event is gonna be pretty much the worst match of the night so far.
Wow.
But that third fall is why I could be swayed, because that third fall to me had beautiful storytelling, because the whole Undisputed thing coming out and Gargano still, defying the odds. And it's not just a typical like, oh, it was just, you felt every single close call. You were just like, oh man, you were like on the edge of your seat.
And that's kind of how I felt too.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't find the first fall to be boring.
Yeah.
But I know it wasn't like the end all be all. And I actually kind of found it a little refreshing that it ended so abruptly. And oh shit, Adam Cole got that one. Oh fuck. Like, it kind of caught me off guard in a good way.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Robert Medlin in the live chat, he agrees with me. He says that this is the match of the night. But then we had the other Robert say, agree with you guys, or well, at least you, that the tag match is the match of the night. So, Chris. What is your match of the night from TakeOver?
I'm going to agree with Arnold and say that the opening tag match was my match of the night. But since this is my time to talk,
go for it.
I'm going to give a strong I'm going to make a strong argument for the second match of the night.
Okay.
Because Matt Riddle and Velveteen Dream,
my God,
above anything else, before you get into moves, before you get into the finish, those two might have had the best character acting the entire night.
Yes.
Velveteen with the posing, Matt Riddle knowing how he is in a big fight feel environment, and he's just like, he's anticipating. He's ready for the moment to actually win this belt because that's what he does.
Those are WWE superstars.
Yes.
Fighting on NXT TakeOver.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say about it before anything else. Yeah. I don't think I need to make any more of a case, but y'all are more than welcome to talk about the finish, the moves, the selling, the facial expressions, the audience, the whole Magilla.
I can be sold. Had me saying, oh my God. So many times to the point where my wife was probably annoyed at me, like, okay, come on. But I was like, this match is unbelievable. Like,
the Mega Man move in this match was him taking a fucking ass whooping from an MMA guy and still winning.
Yes. That was part of the reason why I don't rate this match as highly as the others, because of the ass whooping that Velveteen took. I really did enjoy the character work. You're 100% nailed right on the hammer. Or hammer right on the whatever. No, you got it right. You know that, and that part is right. I just didn't quite enjoy as much of an ass whooping as Velveteen got, and then just squeaked out the win on a fluke.
I don't think it was a fluke because that was a counter.
I don't know.
That Riddle wasn't ready for it.
Yeah. Riddle wasn't ready for it, but Riddle should have been the winner of the match. He was whooping that ass all night long. I don't think Velveteen should be the champ right now. I think Riddle should be the champ.
There you.
But I mean, they got just me.
They named the move. It was something funny. It's something like the floating bro.
Yeah.
My God, it was such a good move. It was beautiful.
The floating bro.
Yeah, it was
one thing that I will say about this match that I really liked. I think I'm on board with Matt Riddle.
Yeah, welcome to the bandwagon, brother.
I've been like
he hates the bro gimmick.
First match, first glimpse of him, I was like, this dude right here.
It took me a while. The same way I did with Cien.
Yeah.
I wasn't with Cien for a while, and I was like, he's okay. I'm gonna give him a chance. I don't know.
Wait, but, you mean Andrade?
Yeah, Cien. Cien Andrade. Whatever. Goddamn. But then he had that one badass match. And I'm a fan of his. Mm-hmm. Boom. I'm a fan of his. I think now, after this match with Velveteen, I'm a fan of Matt Riddle. I still think he could be a better heel with that gimmick.
Give it
that
time.
Gimmick is just
give
it time.
That's rude. Yeah, it is.
But
because just wait till he gets to the main roster. He's the next Lesnar that all the fans are going to hate because he's an MMA guy that could.
Was he a heel in the Indies?
I don't know.
No. He just has that heelish vibe to him. He has that, because he's a beautiful man.
Two, hairy, long hair.
Yeah, he's a free flavor. He's like a California guy, dude. Yeah. So I'm like,
Bro,
yeah, and that little when he kicks off his slides gets me every time. Like, she's like, "What?" Like, my wife was looking. I was like, "Watch his interest." Like, look what he does. She's like, "He's kind of like," and then he's like, "He's an idiot." I'm like, "I know. That's the thing. He's fucking cool."
Yeah,
a match that
at some point he's an idiot douchebag that you're not gonna like.
A match that I really like but suffered from placement was Pete Dunne versus Walter because of what you just said.
Yeah,
because of what you just said. You just saw a black guy getting his ass beat for 20 minutes, and then I saw a midget get his ass beat for 30.
Uh-huh.
Like, if they would have put the women's match in between that, my palate would have been cleansed, and I would have been able to accept the match. I would have appreciated it. I liked it a lot. Kunta Kinte, man. Shit. Yeah. That thing was like 45 minutes of straight-up Trumpism.
It was.
However, I really, really, really enjoyed that match for a reason that was pointed out to me by my roommate Porsche. That was different. That was different than any of these other indie-rific matches, like the main event, like the openers, where it's high-octane, fast-paced counters, this and that. It was more of an old-school pace.
That was the point.
The big guy that doesn't leave his feet, when he did leave his feet,
wasn't even your traditional British strong style type of match. Exactly. That was old school 80s wrestling, no matter what part of the country.
Walter said it himself. What you saw right there is classic European wrestling.
Catch as catch can.
Steven Regal, all that kind of shit. That was what you saw. That's what we saw. Like, so that's why for moments I was bored.
Yes,
I was
like, because you weren't used to it. Exactly. And you weren't expecting it on that show.
Exactly.
You can expect that on Raw. You could maybe expect it at Mania, but not at TakeOver when everyone's
so I got a legitimate wrestling match, but man.
But it was different. It was different. And I gotta give him kudos for that.
I went in knowing Walter was gonna win. Like, there's no way Walter wasn't gonna walk out.
Yeah.
The only thing I was thinking of, okay, maybe because he's still so young in the brand.
Yeah.
Maybe no. But even throughout the match, I'm like, I see what they're doing. They're trying to make them look stronger but to compete. But by the time he hit the better end, I was like, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he got it. Peace better one. End.
Yeah.
One. Two.
What? Hold the fuck on.
Walter did the fucking splash where he just like
looked that's
like,
his finish.
Like he was a fucking refrigerator falling off of a bus. Like
off a truck.
Off of a truck. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, god damn, that just looks devastating. So, yeah, it was really cool, man. I really liked
that. That was a great match. That's the match that I... Now, you know what? I'm flipping what I'm saying.
Uh-oh.
Because I still agree with the statement, but now I'm putting it to another match. Okay. I thought one match was getting overhyped, and I thought with my mind's eye that it was that one. I'm realizing that it's not because it's adequately hyped. The Adam Cole match, I think, is getting overhyped.
Ooh!
Walter Pete Dunne is the one now because that's the one that I would –
Welcome to the dark
before
side.
The show, I said my match of the night is Aleister Black. Oh, during the match, I have a match, but I can be swayed. I thought I was going to be swayed by Adam Cole and Johnny Gargano. I might be right here with Walter and Pete Dunne. I'm not, but I'm getting there.
Oh.
But so far.
Well, let me see if I could tickle your pickle a little bit more with something else.
All right.
With women.
Four of them
at the same time. All tickling your pickle.
Great, man.
And I see your pickle. It's not out there.
It's not much. It's pretty easy to tickle it.
They'll have to take turns.
Use it right here.
That's giving me too much.
Can't be the same time. Right. Muévete, it's my turn.
He's done.
Again, I think all five of the matches from this takeover were great. Mm-hmm. All five of them were great. This one was great, too. If I had to pick which one was the worst, I might go with Walter versus Dunne, even though I really, really like the fact that it's different.
Yeah.
But you could sway me to say that the women's match was the worst. I'm not sure.
It would be – I wouldn't even say the worst. I'd do the least best.
The least best. That's a really good way of putting it. Okay.
But even then, this is the best I've ever seen Kairi Sane.
Yes.
This is the most believable I've seen Kairi Sane.
Best I saw Bianca.
Bianca just – she's fucking EST for a reason. Yes. She's getting even better and better. Yeah.
Yeah.
I struggle with the name of that. Io Shirai.
Yeah.
She's so good, dude.
I love
her. The tension they were playing between the two Asians before they finally started.
I love that Kairi was the first one to backstab. Yeah. Did not see that coming.
And even then, it didn't seem like a malicious backstab. No, it seemed like we're friends.
Because she was agonizing over it. Oh, fuck. What the fuck? I know what I
like,
just
okay,
did.
Okay, I got a fighter. I got a fighter.
My only gripe, and it's not even much of a gripe, it's the winner. I love Shayna.
Okay.
But I think she's run her course. And I was hoping this would be end and then she'd be come up. But especially since
week.
Especially since fucking the weirdo is gone. Yeah.
Yeah. The weirdo.
Yeah.
A little weirdo.
A little weirdo. I was hoping.
It's such a stupid insult, but it works.
It worked. You can tell it gets under her skin, too. So,
weirdo.
So, like, I was hoping that, I don't know, Io would win or Bianca would win it. Not kind of because she's already had it. I don't want her to be a 2-time NXT champion before she graduates. I love that she was on WrestleMania.
Yeah.
But also, I'm the one who notices little things. I've noticed, and this is going to sound kind of, not creepy, but this is going to sound different.
Little things we know.
I thought I was Asian until I was 24. But Kairi Sane has gotten thicker, but in a good way, as far as like she's put on muscle mass.
Okay.
Because it's more believable now. In the first ever Mae Young, she was like, look at this little girl. You know what I mean?
Popsicle sticks and pirate hat.
There's no way. And then when she won, I was like, I guess. That's like Katie Catanzaro winning part, you know, the second one. You know what I mean? Or she's too small. But
assuming she would have won the second
one. Yeah. But
if there's a second one.
There was already a second one.
Oh, yeah.
So She puts a meat on her bones.
Yeah.
And she's more believable as a ass kicker now.
Yeah.
So I love it. She's, you know, that's why I think Io Shirai is believable, because she's thicker. But she just flows. I love the way she wrestles. She just, it's like eloquency, just like,
yeah,
I just like boom, 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 the way she flows in the match. But Shayna's bad. She's bad.
I really want to see more of the Sky Pirates. Is that what they were called? The Sky Pirates?
So, yeah.
Or the Pirates of the Sky? Whatever. I want to see more of them as a team. I want to see them challenge for the NXT or for the women's tag team titles. I want to see them be utilized as a team. This would have had a little bit more impact if they had been established as a team for a little bit longer, and now they're in the match fighting against each other. Because I think it's like,
yeah,
hey, they're a team. Oh, by the way, they're fighting each other. Wait, what? Oh, yeah. Okay. Like, I barely learned what their team name was in a match where they weren't working as a team. Like, come on.
Yeah.
But that doesn't say that I don't want to see more of that. I definitely want to see more of them as a team outside. So, I liked it. I still like the match. Maybe it's the least best. I don't know.
Overall, did the show exceed or did not meet your expectations?
Exceed, and I already had high expectations of it. I was at I was at an 8. To me, it was a 10.
I say it slightly exceeded my expectations, but that's only because I had such high expectations for it. My expectations were at like a 9, and this was like 9.5.
I think I'm the same way with you. Okay. Mathematically, remember last week, assuming I wasn't going to be there, I was at about an 8.5 or a 9, and I think I'm at a 9.5.
This is one of those things where my biggest point of emphasis, I always say, what would you say to a person who doesn't watch wrestling? This would be one of those, watch this, watch this. This is why I love wrestling.
Robert Medlin says in the live chat, I officially bought into Matt Riddle.
Mm-hmm. Another one.
Yeah. Hector says, do you see Dream's WrestleMania video talking shit to Murphy?
Yeah, we'll get there. Yeah.
Okay.
We'll get there. That's I'm jumping ahead.
Medlin says, I'm predicting a rematch with a Riddle heel turn. Riddle maybe. And Bubba Team.
That's what I was actually expecting at TakeOver, a heel turn from him.
And then Hector says, sport.
Yeah. No shit. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Are we done with the NXT
part? We're done with TakeOver. We're done with Friday. Okay. So we're going to let you take a little break. Hopefully you can help me out a little bit, because Saturday, G1 Supercard, Madison Square Garden.
You were there, you son of a bitch. How many matches was it?
10.
10. How many did Rumble. I watch? I watched 3 with you.
You watched
right
3.
Now. Okay.
Technically 4.
4?
Remember Roosh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Dalton Castle turned on the boys because he lost to Roosh in like a cup of coffee.
It was like a minute, less than a minute, somewhere around there. He got his ass whooped with 3 drop kicks. 3 basement drop kicks is what did him in.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah. As somebody who really, really likes Planet Peacock,
is it time?
Damn.
Is it time?
I don't know if it's time because I haven't been following it, but like, damn. Like, that's all I can say. Like, you told me the only context I need is that he's on a losing streak and he asked for this match to prove himself.
Yeah.
And then he just got, like, murdered. So, like, oh, hell. Okay. So, yeah, I was shocked. I was shocked to see it end that fast and him lose. And that probably is what it needed to happen for it to take for him to snap on the boys.
Talk to me about the opening match. Will Ospreay, Jeff Cobb.
That was fun. This was my first time actually seeing Matanza not being Matanza, see him as being Jeff Cobb. And while there's a little bit of mystique taken away from the grungy jumpsuit with the mask that you don't know who he is, and he's just in a regular old slinglet that says Cobb, like, there's some of the mystique taken out. But when I see him pull off the moves as Matanza on such a little dude who is still trying to be a firecracker to take him out, that was fun. It was really fun to see like a real wrestler doing the twisting slam instead of it being some deranged monster. Like, it's like, oh, this is a real guy. Like, oh shit, that's still impressive even for a real wrestler to do. wrestler. You know what I mean? Not saying Matanza is not a real wrestler, but it's like in my mind, it's a fucking caricature of a person, not even a character.
I was a big fan of the opening match.
The poor boys.
The commentators putting over Ospreay as trying to be less of an aerial and more of an assassin.
That's what he needed in that match.
And he did. He tried to pick him up for the Stormbreaker.
The
hidden blade
hidden
is
the dagger.
But the Stormbringer is where he's got him over and does a driver deal. But there was a couple of moves in there, especially the opening somersault in the beginning of the match where Cobb caught him. He thought he was gonna slam him, and then he converted it into a Rana. That match was fun, dude, and the crowd was at its loudest from the very beginning. They were going both ways. God damn.
Arnold's in the live chat saying, "Oh yeah, I'm engaged with the crowd and just like not fucking douche."
You only got to see the finish of Sabre and Tanahashi defending the RevPro title because we're running low on time.
Yeah,
that rings a Saturn though.
I mean, it was more than just the Rings of Saturn.
What I saw at the end?
Yeah.
That was brutal.
That was
like a Rings of Saturn plus two things. Like two other things on top of it. Like, overkill. He's already dead. I'm already pulled over. I can't pull over anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what it was that he slapped on him, but like.
It was like a wrist lock, too.
Yeah. He had a wrist lock. Pull it back. Yeah. And then
Tana was fighting it, so he pulled back on the fingers.
Yeah.
To get him to
I love the mastery of his particular type of wrestling is what overcame somebody that's, you know, legendary. Like, that story there is good. Because, like, if you remember old school wrestling games, you had, like, a rating for a wrestler, and it was like, oh, the big guy is, like, 99999 on strength, speed, and, you know, et cetera, da, 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 da. But if you have one guy that's a 10 on, like, technical ability, but, like, 777 on the rest, the guy with the 10 technical ability may still have a chance of beating the guy that's all nines because that one thing could put you over the top. And that's kind of what happened in this match. Zack Sabre Jr. is not the top of the mountain. Oh, but if he twists you up in the right way, you're done. Fucked. I don't care who you are, you're done. If he gets the right limb in the right position, you are fucked. And that's what happened in this match. Tana fucking Hashi, the guy of all guys, the ace, the fucking Japanese John Cena, he got bested by a technical move by a technical wrestler.
That weighs half him.
Yeah, that's what this guy used to do back in the day.
Yep,
he was not the fastest, he wasn't the strongest, but damn, his ring IQ was so good, he would figure out a way to beat you and he would do it. And then, I like it. Yeah. It tickles my pickle.
Man, the car crash that was the ladder match for the Ring of Honor title. Ooh.
There are reports that Tanahashi got injured, according to Hector in the
live. Half of the fucking wrestling world got injured over the weekend. Half.
I did somehow.
Did you look in the mirror? Is that what it was?
You know who got the worst injury, though?
Who?
So during the ladder match, they decided to make an X out of the ladder. They put two ladders, and it was like this. It was like that. And kind of like that. And somebody got thrown and got suplexed on it, like forward faced on it. And so Lethal wants to climb wants to get the belt. So he takes the two ladders that are like this, and he just throws it out of the ring. Except the ladder's like this. So it goes, boop, on some of the fan in the front row.
Oh. On a fan?
A fan in the front row. All this fucking army security is like swarming the front row to check on this guy.
Working paid.
In what? Peanuts? It's Ring of Honor, fool.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Whatever the money they made it from Madison Square Garden, that just goes to him.
Yeah.
Matt Taven is the new Ring of Honor champion.
Ooh.
Yeah, he pulled out the win. Okay. And it was believable. Like, they've been building up this whole rivalry with Matt Taven having a blue Ring of Honor belt, claiming himself as the rightful champion of Ring of Honor, and that's how him and Jay Lethal were going back and forth. So they've been having this going on for months. And so now him being the new leader of the kingdom, he's the only one left. he's got a posse.
Will be back in a few months.
He's got a posse, but he's now the new champ.
Okay.
That was a fun match too, dude. Let's see.
How was the riot whenever the special guest showed up?
So it was a four-way
like a legit-ass riot.
Four-way tag match. Gorillas of Destiny win. after the match, and I had to watch this again on the network. Cass and Enzo just jumped the rail on the hard camera side, so you don't really catch it.
Question: were they there the whole night just watching the show?
I have no idea because I didn't notice them.
Okay.
But damn, Bully Ray out of nowhere comes out.
Bully Ray wasn't in the match.
No, he's in the back. He's in the back, and he ran out. I was like, oh no, motherfuckers! He starts whomping on these guys. They made an effort to not draw attention to it as it happened. But afterwards, while they were clearing out and having them, because I was like, dude, at one point, once they were both thrown over the rails, there was like maybe 4 or 5 dozen guys in all kinds of colored suits escorting, making sure that they got out, that they didn't do anything else. Because remember, I'm watching, before this happened, was the triple threat match with Taiji Ishimori and Dragon Lee and Bandido.
Okay.
And as soon as that bell rang, a couple of marks next to me are, I was like, what the fuck's going on? Dude. Your boy got jumped at Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
So to see that happen, like 30 minutes after, shit. I was like,
it's like 9/11 all over again.
The 9/11 of wrestling. Yeah.
God damn.
In New York. You insensitive fuck. Welcome back. So pause break, because we're doing this in chronological order. The first word that popped out of your head when either you saw or you heard this Rastafarian fuck try to get in the ring and take out Bret Hart.
Fucked. You, sir, are fucked.
I don't think I had words. I think I was just pissed.
Yeah.
And I was flabbergasted. I was befuddled that it like happened. I was like, what? Yeah. And see, here's what was kind of fucked up about it. So I was watching the Hall of Fame live.
Oh.
I was watching the Hall of
Fame. I remember when we watched it. I saw how awkward it was.
Well, hold on, though. Right as Bret started talking, Porsche got home with groceries. So I had to pause.
Oh.
I had to pause the Hall of Fame, even though I was like,
damn it, Porsche.
Help put away the groceries. 15, 20 minutes later, I looked down at Twitter right before I hit play. Bret Hart attacked. And there's Bret Hart standing there, paused position, about to talk. Oh. And I'm like, play, and then it was like I saw the dude like tackle him and a feed cut out, and I'm like, oh, I wonder if that was because I delayed the 15-20 minutes, but no, apparently that was what still a life really happened, because
they replayed it the next, I mean, you know,
they edited it later, and it's seamless. Well, 1 minute Bret Hart's talking and he's on, his hair's coiffed, they have a shot of the audience reaction, and the next second when they go back to Bret, his hair's like,
well, see, I watched it the next morning. They must have re-edited it again, it happens. You see him get cut. It cuts off for 3 seconds.
Yeah.
And then
quick,
boom! You just see the crowd for like a minute.
That's the original feed.
Okay,
still.
There you go. That's still the original feed. You just kind of like and then you don't see anything of what we saw online.
Yeah,
none of it. The closest thing you see is Tyson Kidd laughing with Bret Hart, like, are you fucking? Bret Hart's like, yeah. And then Drake Maverick coming up saying, don't pay attention to this man. Like,
yeah,
pay no attention to this man. He doesn't, you know, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And they held that, you know, they held their own on that.
Who's the MVP?
Ronda Rousey's husband,
Travis Brown. He beat the shit out of
him.
It was trying to, or
Dash Wilder.
Yeah, Dash Wilder. No, because he was the at there's the very
a,
end. No,
there's a difference between the two.
Okay.
Travis Brown was in the moment. he made sure that he separated Bret from this guy, got his licks in to immobilize him, to make sure that he was able to get taken out. Mark my words, Dash is gonna get sued.
He's gonna get sued. That's the first
because thing that's the first thing I thought. I was like, he's already in security. Security's already taking him away.
Yep.
Security was just fine. If you watch a lot of those videos, as soon as Dash punches him and drops him, more fucking people showed up that weren't going to show before. The dude was already going to be taken out. So that
they had him.
That was unnecessary.
Okay.
Very unnecessary.
Okay.
You know, so he's getting lit.
In the moment, I was like, "Oh man, top guy. He's made. They're gonna beat fucking the losers, the Major Brothers tomorrow, and they're gonna have Nenta Tetra." No, they didn't.
And when that happened, I agreed with you that damn, that's not going to be good for Dash. And that also made me feel like, man, I kind of feel bad for this guy. I know he was a dumbass trying to get it, but so he got what was coming to him. But then when I found a little bit more about the guy,
fuck that guy.
Like, you know what? He deserved a little bit more.
Yeah.
Because, like, it turned out being, like, a white nationalist and, like, he didn't think that the women should be in the main event of Mania. And, like, man, all this fucking racist shit with Kofi and, like, all this shit.
Just fuck the racist stuff. Like, yeah, because, of course, it's bad to be racist. Yes, everyone knows that. But just psychologically.
Really?
Psychologically, that guy was fucking stupid, man. Yeah. He was, like, verbally, like, hey, Vince, I'm coming. It's not. And he would just. But the thing about it is, I've been to various wrestling events just in the past 5 years, and I've been starting to go to events.
Yeah.
There's a lot of guys like him.
There's a lot of weirdos that are wrestling.
That's what scares me.
A little weirdo. There's a.
He's not alone.
He's not.
Go to the Lords of Pain message board. Mm-hmm. He's not alone, and that is what scares me, and that is what makes me. That is what keeps me on Raw, on, you know what I mean, SmackDown, on stuff like that, because now imagine that lunatic getting through at ROH, he could have killed somebody potentially. Yeah.
It isn't even about ROH. It surprises me that after the terrorist attack at Ariana Grande's concert, that we still have moments like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and it sucks that so people that companies or stadiums or arenas, they want to be retroactive instead of proactive on the situation.
Yeah.
Number one, it's a Hall of Fame. It's not a wrestling event. It's wrestling church. There don't need to be anybody on the floor that is not a pro wrestler.
Correct.
Keep the fans at least on the first level and make sure that security is facing them like at a concert.
Yeah.
Security's facing the crowd, not facing the audience.
We're old enough now to go, and we've gone to concerts enough to, we were living the era before. You just walk up in numbers. You just walk up in the Verizon.
Yeah.
Ariel.
December 8, 2004.
White Swan.
He's one of my heroes gets gunned down on stage. Dimebag Darrell.
Yeah.
A shotgun.
Yeah.
In front of his brother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the guy just walked up in there. And after that, you best believe, pat downs, fucking beep, beep, my metal detectors, all that shit, but at what cost?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the shit that scares me. And again, that guy's common. There was that guy that was like throwing feces at the performance center. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They're just
he didn't get into the performance center, though. But yeah.
Yeah, but you can't fix stupid, though.
Yeah.
You can't fix stupid.
Yeah. There's a guy here who jumped the fence and with full gear. It's Dean Ambrose.
Yeah.
Dean Ambrose almost got
that
stabbed.
Night of Champions.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking champions. About. I was there. I saw it happen. I'm like, come on.
Yeah.
It's like you take so many steps back for us. You know what I mean? Already are the minority of like, oh, this guy watches wrestling.
Man, we could have used him last week with the wrestling healthcare day, weeks off.
Oh, talk. Yeah. We're talking about John Oliver.
I had much to say about that. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. But yeah, like you made us look bad. You're still dirty. You watch wrestling. Yeah, that's fine. But we're just watching TV like you watch Game of Thrones. Leave us alone. And then this fucking lunatic comes out. And,
yeah.
See, that's where I'm like, I ain't got nothing to say to them, man.
All that being said, I really like the new setup for the Hall of Fame.
I loved it.
It being like a
ring. I hope they keep it that way.
Yeah, without the
extra security and keep the riffraff on the top.
I fucking loved it. I loved that setup.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, maybe, you know, the one time we did it was when we had, you know, so they may not do it again.
Yeah.
But I fucking loved the setup. I loved Big E sitting behind them the entire night, doing stupid shit, eating pancakes, having burgers, stretching his legs without his fucking shoes on.
Signing up for when Tori Wilson said, puberty.
And I'm like, yes, I agree.
Normally, I don't waste my time in the Hall of Fame, especially the last few years.
This one was
different. I didn't expect it to be different because I was like, how are you talking, man? Okay, I fast forwarded through that.
I didn't care.
But everybody else, I mean, okay, I fast forwarded through the Warrior Award because I don't know that lady. But
that Warrior Award was better than the previous ones.
I heard it was really good too. But personally, it was Sunday. I was trying to get it over with, and I knew some of them were going to be long winded. But Harlem Heat was awesome.
That was good. DX was surprisingly really good.
Yeah,
I really liked it.
It got weird.
When X-Pac. They had the titties?
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, with X-Pac. Like, you could tell, okay, The stuff that the Billy Gunn, the AEW, okay, whatever. That was ribs. Funny. Those are ribs. Those are whatever. Yeah. But X-Pac, you could tell, was in his feelings about a couple things. And
yeah,
like,
he was.
Well, he did have a relationship with China.
No, not even that. As far as like the hierarchy of DX and the hierarchy of how he was looked at. Like, oh, stop making fun of, like, everyone was always that. He was the guy to fuck on, basically.
Yeah.
If you ask the guys, you ask Scott Hall, you ask Kevin Nash, you ask Billy Gunn, that's the best wrestler from the NWO, from DX. Mm-hmm. That guy. The guy that got match of the year out of fucking Bret Hart on Raw, you know?
But, well, I think maybe, like, Sean Waltman was the guy that was the one always seen as a little bit lesser. So I guess I can understand he was in his feelings a little bit. It's like, fuck, I'm actually getting, you know,
my time to shine. You know, I'm getting fucked on right now.
And it's weird. It's like, X-Pac, you little fuck up.
Yeah.
You finally did the thing at your fucking Hall of Fame speech where you actually did the thing that everybody would fucking agree with you, which was like, you know what, maybe we have an Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Oh shit. I looked over at Porsche, I looked over at Randy, we're like, he's fucking right. Finally, like, X-Pac.
One after a porn star.
Yeah. After a stripper, just probably like,
so back on track.
Can't do that.
After the interruption. My match of the night.
Woo!
Los Ingobernables de Japón, way. Tetsuya Naito dropping the belt to Kota Ibushi.
That was a good ass match.
That's a really good match.
That was a good ass match. I was talking to you all throughout that about some heavy shit.
But you were paying attention.
Man, that running head scissors off of the apron onto the floor. Fuck me, man. That was an amazing move. Amazing move. Definitely match of the night, I would say. Definitely.
I wish more people liked the women's title match like I did, but that crowd had zero fucks to give, man. Iwatani lost the belt to Kelly Klein in a really good match. And then Allure. There's a new heel faction for the women.
Ooh.
Velvet Sky. Angelina Love from Beautiful People.
Beautiful People.
And Mandy Leon.
Okay.
Really? I've been wanting her to get on something.
The goddess of Ring of Honor. Yeah. She's been the first woman there.
I've been following her on Instagram for like 5 years. Yeah. I've been seeing them titties bouncing up and down for years. I even asked Abel, like, dude, who is this? It was like years ago. Who is this dude? She's just like, damn. But she could wrestle you. I have no idea who that is.
Scott was the same way. He leaned over like, bro, who the hell is that? Yeah. And I Googled her name, showed her some pictures. He's like, okay.
Yeah. I followed her for like a year or two before I knew she was a wrestler.
All these failed searches on YouPorn.
She's a wrestler. It's just because of the wrestling. Yeah.
YouPorn finds zero results for Mandy Leo. So Allure, that's their team name. So the three of them.
They allure you.
Yeah.
Women. That's a magazine too, right? Allure?
I think so. Yeah. And Jay White, your favorite.
Redemption is complete.
Yes. Yeah. Dude, but that show was so much fun, man. The Honor Rumble in the beginning, the pre-show, Kenny King demanded to be number one. So number two was the other king, Minoru Suzuki.
Oh.
The last few people in this battle royal were Jushin Thunder Liger.
Oh, yeah.
Haku.
That guy's still around.
And the Great Muta.
Ooh.
That guy was dead. That guy died.
And it turned out the last two guys were Muta and Liger. And the typical, which I'm already sick of, we'll talk about it in a minute with WrestleMania. The, hey, let's hide under the fucking ring trope on these battle royals. Kenny King eliminated both of them, and he wound up going wire to wire and winning the game.
Can we stop with that?
No, that's
just okay.
Every cage match has to have a high spot. Every battle royal's got to have somebody hiding.
Yeah.
That's where we're at.
Both battle royals were, I wouldn't say ruined by it, but just like,
But overall, the show was fun as shit, man. That was my second show in the Garden.
I was gonna ask, have you ever been to the Garden for wrestling before?
Yeah, I went to a WWE house show on Saturday night in Madison Square Garden. They topped off the whole week of New York for me.
Right. Daniel says, shame on you, Arnold. Muta isn't dead.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I thought Tajiri did his thing as a tribute.
Well, no, it was.
He does dead. He as a tribute.
Copied well, him. You know, your tribute people well, he's are still dead. Copy, you know,
not necessarily. Fucking CM, not Kimura.
CM Punk did the GTS when fucking Kenta wasn't dead.
Dude's dead. This week, been dead for a long time.
This weekend, Nakamura looked like he was doing his uniform out of Liger with the triangles and everything.
I thought he was dressing as Kane.
He's dead. He's just a mayor.
Robert Medlin says,
he's a politician, so he's going to die soon.
I like the swerve after the women's match. What was the swerve after the women's match?
Yeah.
They were men.
Oh, the fact that that
they debuted. Was
there. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like it too.
Okay.
I'm not a man. I'm not a woman. I'm a man.
Overall, the New Japan Ring of Honor show also exceeded my expectations. Again, I didn't know a lot of this stuff on paper, so they had room to jump. And it did. It was a fucking awesome show.
They pulled it off.
I'm not sure if it was better than TakeOver. Scott was doing this, was playing this weird ass game with me the rest of the weekend. It's like, all right, take the four matches that you like the most from TakeOver and take the four matches you like the most from New Japan and see how it holds up.
That's not fair because that's like 95% of the matches on NXT. And that's only 40%
of the matches. And that's why I told him.
Your math is a little off, but yeah.
That's why he doesn't bank. So that's why he doesn't work in a bank. The reason I picked TakeOver was because of that. There's some matches on the New Japan card that I thought were a little better in some aspects than the TakeOver. But again, you know my
quality over quantity.
Mm-hmm. If that pay-per-view was whittled down 20, 30 minutes of those, maybe one or two matches left off, I wouldn't have missed it. Okay. But overall, New Japan was good too, man. It certainly wasn't a waste of money or time, dude. I was fucking grateful to be in there, and so was everybody else.
Did you get home easily?
Oh, yeah, man. The subways and everything were easy.
Dang, price
that's why I didn't go to Mania, dude. People wait outside for fucking hours.
In the rain.
Last year in Louisiana and New Orleans, I waited in the parking lot for an hour. I fell asleep. I didn't drive. But I fell asleep for an hour and a half. Woke up. We're still in the parking lot. I'm like, what the fuck?
After the situation that I had with All in Chicago, waiting an hour and a half for a taxi. It's like, I'm not doing that again. So when that WrestleMania is like, yeah, when your WrestleMania is advertised for one state and it's in another state, you don't go. You don't go.
New Jersey?
Well, yeah, next year's is going to be on the sea, so it's going
to. I can swim.
It's going to be Tampa, but it's actually going to be in Tallahassee.
Yeah.
I'm going to channel the power and wisdom of my forefathers.
Yeah. I'm actually going to try to go to that.
It's going
to
be on
I have too.
My luck is going to rain. It's Florida. It rains every day in Florida.
Yeah,
it rained at 24.
It did.
It rained at 33 when I went.
Miserable at 24.
But I loved it because that's the – where else?
It, like, rained, and then it got sunny, and then it got blowy, and then, like,
blowy.
That's where Undertaker killed those people.
Yes, with the fucking pyro.
Yeah, it rained at 33, too, and then – before the actual show started, when they sang "America the Beautiful," the fighter jets literally were like 10 feet away from me, so they like it like insta dried me like that. And now they do choppers. Sunday, WrestleMania. Woo! What is your match of the night?
Kofi versus D-Bry.
Woo!
Damn.
Yes.
Damn.
I ain't mad at you.
The feels was there. The feels all got. You want to talk about shedding a tear at the main event of NXT, Johnny Wrestling finally winning. I won't speak for you two. I also shed a tear, Kofi winning, with all the support of everybody out there, the support of the New Day, not running too much interference. They were being there supporting neutral. Their boy, you know, like cheering their boy on. And everybody else reacting to it. Like,
the fact
I
that Xavier couldn't even hold them because he was crying so much.
I knew I just saw something special. And that was special. And the feels were there. There were feels at other points of the night and points of the weekend. But the thing that makes this also the match of the night, not so much just the feels, but the goddamn fucking match itself. That was the match belt to belt. Even if D-Bry had won, that was still the best match. Bell to bell in the ring.
Every close, what do they call it? Near fall. I was like on the edge of my seat. My wife and I were watching because she was okay. Me, I've been watching wrestling for 32 years.
Yeah,
I know. I'm like, okay, Kofi's gonna win this fucking match. But there's a part of me Yeah. There's a reason why Kofi's the first black champion.
They just don't do it.
So I'm like, that's why I'm like, part of me is like, it's not gonna happen. My wife is like, it's not gonna happen. I'm like, I know, but fuck if I'm not gonna fucking try. I'm gonna fucking be there and I'm gonna, you know, oh man, I'm gonna invest. And I did, and I loved the story. I loved the match was just beautifully told. There was maybe a minute where I was kind of like, oh man, this match kind of a little long, but they made up for it, especially at the end. Just the way it was a definite finish. It was just, oh, it was so good, man.
Is that your match of the night? You wonder why there's never been a black champion. I'm asking him. He's not answering.
It's definitely my one. There might be an A or B. So off the top of my head, that's what I would say. Yes.
Okay.
Hold on, I want to pull this up and address this real quick. Daniel Price says this: it was okay until they brought the merch out and the belt already was having the plates on it. That was overkill. I loved that because that was a piece of storytelling that the New Day did that for Kofi. They brought out the fucking merch. They brought out the fucking belt with the things. This is for you later. They were planning. With faith,
they were confident
that he was going to do it, that he was going to win it. Yeah. So that 30-second piece of storytelling made that okay. If that piece of storytelling didn't happen where, oh, shit, they already had the shirts, oh, shit, they already had the plates, and
WWE laughed at themselves for fucking up? Because you know they fucked up, right?
Oh, because they put it
on their website in the middle of the match.
Yeah, they fucked up there.
So if anybody – we almost did, because I was saying Bianca about, like, hey, look, tonight you buy a shirt and you get another the second shirt's a dollar. Usually in matches, my wife goes to her phone and whatever. Thankfully, we were both fully invested in this match. We weren't.
I wasn't shopping on
WWEshop.com in the middle of the WWE title match. So I'm like, that's fine. But apparently, people saw it and they were pissed.
Yeah.
On Monday, the WWE screwed the main event before it ever happened by saying Tuesday was going to be a.
That's true. They
could change that. They could change that.
But
they did the same thing on the opposite side though. Later on, they're like, Daniel Bryan, we have these Daniel Bryan.
That's why they made fun of themselves.
Yeah.
Because they knew they fucked up.
Right. Which was cool though, because that's what happens in real sports.
Yeah, the
ones
Kids in Africa got a bunch of Ram shirts this year.
Yeah. I don't think Kids in Africa got the D-Bry ones because I don't think that they actually printed those out, you know, as a contingency plan. But that's what they were trying to mock.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that as a piece of nugget of storytelling.
As a Mexican American wrestling fan,
we already got our moment.
I want to.
We got two of them.
I want to welcome
Pedro Morales. We got more.
I want to welcome the African American community in having the same moment.
Okay.
Because I cried when Eddie beat Brock Lesnar for the belt. I was fighting it in the moment because I was watching it at Travis's house with his wife and Scott, and I didn't want to be
non-Mexicans.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was fucking laughing.
So, with all these white people.
So I came back after I watched it with them, and before I went to bed, I rewatched that Daniel Bryan Kofi match, and I cried just the same.
The feels were there, dude.
Just the same.
My lip quivered. I was like,
yeah,
I can't believe it. This happened.
Yeah,
and this is why, 32 years old, I still watch wrestling because
of moments like that.
Moments like this. This is whatever. I don't watch Game of Thrones, but the emotion that I know people get from Game of Thrones, that's what I get with wrestling.
Yeah,
and that's why I keep watching wrestling. I was choked up right now talking about.
That's my match of the night for WrestleMania.
Scott says, "I'm not white. I'm foreign." What's up, man?
Now, I agree with both of y'all as far as match of the night. I think it's great. There's two matches that I give this a lot of competition.
All right, hold that thought, though.
Before you say that, the reason it's my match of the night, because you've been absent for a while. You notice, I don't know if you're aware of this, we're in April. We have no match of the years on our list.
I was wondering.
Because we're not gonna have fucking 14 matches on our list this year.
We're being a little
the
bit
reason
more
this is my match of the at least my match of the night is because of the story of the build of the failure at the poster that's supposed to be Elimination Chamber right there that I took down for tonight. The failure at freaking Fastlane.
Yeah.
The weeks on building SmackDown. Up to this. Just everything.
The perfect storyline of us just thinking Vince McMahon's a racist.
You know what I mean? But just remember, because again, you weren't here last week. Just because the character Vince McMahon is an asshole, you got to remember the human being Vince McMahon is also an asshole.
Just a different kind of asshole.
Yeah.
Porsche said this, and this was a good point that she brought up in the live chat, because it actually does mean a lot. Hashtag for the culture.
Yeah.
97.9 The Box, which is, if you're not from Houston, I'll let you know, that is the local hip-hop station. They play nothing but rap and hip-hop on that station, a little bit of R&B. 97.9 The Box was actually talking about wrestling the Monday after Mania because of all this going down. Yeah. And they never talk about wrestling. That's not something that they do. They don't pay attention to
it. Unless you're getting paid to do it.
But Kofi made them talk about it. So this was a big fucking deal, you know? So I just wanted to throw that part out there, too.
And it is. And I
Xavier did all the crying for him.
And I was I can't remember who I even told. I was like, the fact that it's 2019, this company's been around for decades, and this is the first legitimately black. And I hate saying this about The Rock, because, like,
there's a debate.
Because you can't tell a guy who's half black that he's not black. Mm-hmm. He'll whoop your ass. You know what I mean? Like, you're not gonna take that away from me. So I get it. But they asked The Rock, and The Rock says it himself. He categorizes as different. He transcends race, which is what which is what I love so far, that they haven't even mentioned Kofi.
Right.
They've
storyline wise, this isn't about race.
No. But they've said people like us, the culture. They haven't adamantly said that. They will say it in history later.
They want people to make the decision for themselves. They had an interview. Kofi's a guy that twerks. Yeah. He wears rainbow colors. Yeah. He dances to the ring. Yeah. That's not the kind of guy a lot of people in corporate would want as their figurehead.
Yeah. He's not.
But any underlying tones, they want you to be smart enough to figure that shit out. Yeah.
Which is exactly what Jordan Peele was doing with his last two movies. Yeah. Like,
get out of the U.S.
Yeah. It is like, it's about, you know, African-American culture, but it's not. Nice. It's a horror movie.
Yes.
It's a horror movie that anybody of any skin tone can watch and be entertained. Mm-hmm. But it just so happens to be about black people, too.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what's going on here. It's like, this storyline isn't about the fact that Kofi is black, but the fact that he is black and he won, holy shit. Now, if you want to go back and talk about The Rock,
first of all,
if
he is, he's Jamaican.
If The Rock is or isn't black, or is he Samoan, is he not, whatever. And what does The Rock say? The Rock says, I'm proud to be both.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Even if you count The Rock, when was the last time The Rock was a fucking champ?
2 years ago.
A couple years ago. Okay. Legitimate champ 10 years ago.
Legitimate champ 10 years ago. Okay, legitimate. But like,
he ain't no Ahmed Johnson.
Oh my God.
Ahmed Johnson should have been the first one. He should have been the first one. He was supposed to be the first one.
He should have been the Kane and lost it the next night.
Yes.
But all that time between, if your name's not The Rock, it's never been anybody else. And it could have been Mark Henry. Now, if you want to say, well, he was,
because
had the World Heavyweight title. So that doesn't count. Well, you could also say that about this title now, because the one that really counts is the Universal title.
You wrong. Dick.
I know I'm wrong.
But the
Heritage belt.
Nobody is wrong in saying that about the World Heavyweight, because you know why? That's a WCW belt. That's why. That's why it doesn't count.
But
the Universal title is a make-believe title.
They're all make-believe titles.
Well, you know
but
what
the
I
reason
mean.
Why I say that, it even though I know it's wrong.
It hasn't been defended around the universe.
Right. The reason why the reason why I know that is wrong is because I've been a wrestling fan for a long time.
Yes.
But if you're not a wrestling fan for a long time, if you've only been watching wrestling in the last year and a half,
you're led to believe the Universal is all-encompassing.
Vince wants you to think that the Universal title is the bigger fucking deal. When it's not really, and it shouldn't be historically, but right now, the way booking books it, they say that one is. So it's okay to give the title we're trying to get rid of to the black guy.
The fact that Becky and Kofi were on ESPN the next day, and not the Universal Champion.
Not Rollins. That's true, too. So I'm kind of happy for him.
Always getting screwed.
I just don't want them to use that fucking thing as like a reach around to say, oh, well, see, the main title's still held by white guys.
Yeah.
You know?
What's your 1A?
Okay, what's your 1A? Yeah.
Fuck. I can't believe I'm saying this.
Uh-huh.
Ooh. Because it was my least expected match of the night.
Oh.
Don't.
Oh.
Remember, I have a 1A, B, and C.
Don't look at him. Look at me. Tell me. He's judging. I'm not judging. Tell me. What'd you like?
The Miz and Shane McMahon.
Okay.
Now I am judging. Fuck no, you, Arnold. No, no.
Because there's another one that's even worse that I thought was going to be. This one, I knew that that Shane McMahon always surprises everybody. Every week, and I've gone through this at fucking so much with you.
Miz's dad is the MVP.
I always say, you don't give Shane enough credit. Match, I still don't give Shane the credit. This was all fucking Mike Mizanin.
Yep.
He was the MVP of this match, for lack of a better word.
Not Mr. Mizanin?
No. He directed this match. This match was him.
Okay.
I disrespected this match so much that in a card full of 12 matches, not counting the pre-show, I had to choose a time to go get dinner.
And you picked that
match. I chose this match because I didn't care about it. The buildup was stupid. I don't like the, I hated it. I was like, whatever. I went to Whataburger.
Better than Taco Bell.
I got my sandwich. Got my wife's sandwich. Penny wanted a Happy Meal.
So you went to McDonald's.
So I went to McDonald's after Whataburger. Sunday?
They got kids' meals at fucking Whataburger.
They don't have Happy Meals.
Ugh.
When you have a kid, you understand. A kid's meal and a Happy Meal.
And right now, man, Beanie Babies, bro.
You too?
There's the little owl and there's the little, yeah. So anyway, okay.
It just blew his mind.
Yes. Yeah, you'll see.
Do you not see all the toys in this place?
I see it.
Okay.
Fucking man child.
So.
I still get mine.
McDonald's?
Yeah, you do.
At 7 p.m. is not the ideal place to be.
No.
No one comes on there, especially on Woodridge.
Yeah.
So I was there for 20 minutes.
I went there once. I'll never go again. It took forever. Yes. I thought I had a pitch of tent.
And there's two lines.
Yeah. I had a pitch of tent at the drive-thru at McDonald's.
Oh, you always pitch a tent.
And I was there. Goes without saying.
Even at McDonald's.
Your boy was on empty, too. So I was like, how many miles did 2012 Chevy Impala actually?
The tank?
Gas already went out. Looking back, I had 40 miles left, but I was on empty. It was fuel level low. It wasn't even, you have 60 miles. No, it was, hey, gas up. I was like, fuck. So, okay, I was there. So that whole match, I'm sitting and I'm on my phone and I'm just like, I might as well watch this fucking match. And I was so fucking like,
whoa.
Wow. Wow. They exceeded my expectations. And the story was there, and the hatred was there,
and the finish.
Oh, that finish!
You like that finish?
I was like, you
messed in the world, motherfucker.
You like that finish?
You know why? Because the biggest complaint that I've been having, even when I like the story, even when I've been telling you Shane's starting to come up a little bit as far as his work in the ring, I hate, just like every cage match has to have somebody come off the top, every battle royal has to have somebody hiding under the ring, every Shane McMahon match, even if it's a normal match, it's not over until Shane kills himself. Mm-hmm. And he always loses when he kills himself.
Yep.
The fact that the best in the world found a way to just go,
I absolutely fucking hated it.
Of course, because you do lost.
The match, or the spot itself, the end spot, was the worst Shane McMahon spot I had ever seen.
That's a couple steps down. Terrible.
Because it, like,
that was borderline WrestleMania 17 Undertaker Triple H.
The hype wasn't even all that high. Just like WrestleMania 17, you landed on a big poof of something. Yeah. It's like,
but
like, oh god, it looks so
the
bad.
The brutality of it was that I think he actually did legitimately land on top of the Miz's head,
and he got busted open. Yeah,
but that was an accident.
It was an accident.
I feel bad more for the people that didn't realize until once that bell rang that half of that shit was obstructed view.
Yeah,
they get to see shit.
Yeah, I've seen pictures of people who got fucked on.
Blinded. Yeah, they got some or sat behind the screen.
Sat behind the screen. So.
He's the best, but won by a fluke. Yeah, thank you, Daniel. Thank you.
You're 1B.
This is the one where I actually say, I can't believe that this is up there. Because of all the matches that were on there that I was expecting to be, this match got me.
Yeah.
I can't believe the match.
It was better than I thought it'd be.
One gripe.
Yep.
It was the longest match of the night.
40 minutes with intros.
Yeah. Okay. 25 minute actual match. 40 minutes
with more. I've got more for you, but
I got another gripe later. I got another gripe about that match.
You say it's because Triple H won.
No. No. I'm okay with Triple H winning.
Yeah.
Why couldn't she have just made it a retirement match instead of saying if Triple H loses, he retires? Because
Batista retired,
retired anyway.
So no, he did say opening promo that he wanted to end his career by beating Triple H.
Then just call it a fucking retirement match.
See, we already had one. That would have been.
Because if
Kurt Angle's match was okay. This is going to be his last match, regardless if he wins or loses. This match was. Force. It could have been whoever loses, he gets kicked out of the WWE. Whoever loses, retired. That should have been a stipulation.
I love that because you don't have a definitive. Because part of me also would be like, oh yeah, maybe Batista is gonna try again some other time.
I was thinking too.
Well, no, because they fucking let that cat out of the bag already. They're like, oh well, I'm gone.
Yeah.
You didn't give me what I want.
But it gave me.
Oh my God, Scott! God damn you, son of a bitch!
What does Scott do?
So. We've been doing the give me what I want like shit just randomly the entire weekend in Brooklyn. And then
it's called subtlety.
And yes, then Saturday after takeover Friday after takeover because it ran long. We went to Brooklyn Brewery because they closed at midnight. We got there like at 11:15 and I wanted to stop and grab something real quick to eat because we've been snacking and drinking the whole day.
Of course.
But that one spot, I didn't. Went to the brewery, got a tour because he works there, had a couple of drinks there. And then we went to the Black Hole, which was Brooklyn something or other right next door.
They finally took a picture of that place.
Yeah. I saw it. Yeah.
I think I'm funny.
Eh, you're okay. You're 4 out of 10. And went downstairs. The 80s music was vibing, and we're there just randomly talking to people and drinks and shots and beers and shots, and Scott buys shots and take the Uber back to our B&B at 3 a.m. And with my stomach the way it was, as soon as I got in the car and that first bump hit, I was like, oh no. Oh no. Oh, and no. I looked at Scott, and every time I like cleared my throat, like kind of like a burp, I went like that. I could feel something go up a little more, a little more, a little more. And then she hit the driver hit a red light, and I was like, excuse me. I opened the door.
At least you had enough decency to do it outside the
car. And you know, because I know that there's a $150 cleaning fee if you puke in somebody's car through Lyft and Uber.
It could vary depending on how bad it is.
I heard the number, and I was not going to let Scott pay that.
Yeah.
And
let Scott pay that.
But again, I talk a lot of shit here on this show. The person that I hate more than anyone else is me. So when I'm throwing up, I'm saying, is that all you got, you fucking pussy? You fucking sick.
I throw up and I'm drinking this because it's to make more room for more beer.
Right. Well, eventually, yeah.
I willingly throw up.
All right. So now the point is every time I Scott or I say, give it what I want, I go, and that was the running theme the rest of the fucking weekend. Oh my God. I threw up my flu. I threw up my measles. Apparently, there's measles in New York. Oh my God.
Thanks, Scott.
Yeah, and then we told Travis the joke, and before I can even tell the joke, Scott's like dying for like 5 minutes on the couch laughing because he knows that. Oh my God, fuck you, pussy.
God damn it. Okay.
Your 1A.
I don't think I had a 1A. I'm going to ride the Kofi and D-Bi train.
Okay.
For this event.
What was your match that disappointed you? Because this is WrestleMania. You're going to have one.
Uh-huh, I am.
The Demon.
No.
Oh, no. Loved it.
No.
I loved the entrance. And then after
this,
that.
This is going to be easy.
This was powerful, Finn.
This is going to be easy. Maybe too easy, but I'm going to throw it out there. Kurt versus Corbin.
I liked it. And that's hard for me. I fucking hate Baron
Corbin. Oh, I do have a 1A. I forgot. I do have a 1A.
Please tell me it's worth
it. Samoa
Joe. AJ versus Randy Orton. That was good, man.
It was okay.
It was good.
It was okay.
It was good.
I kept getting blinded by an orange light, but it was okay. It was
fine. My 1A?
What's your 1A? We're running out of options. Here,
my 1A is Tony Nese winning the cruiserweight title from Buddy fucking
Murphy. I did not watch that match. I forgot. My manager said, "Hey, the cruiserweights are really good." I'm like, "Motherfucker, I've been trying to tell you for 4 years." And I was like, "Yeah, I watch cruiserweights once a month, and that's on a pay per view."
I warned you. That was really good. I warned you. It had the possibility of being Aries Neville Mania 33 worthy, and it was up there, and it might have passed it.
Maybe the only match I did not see all night because I got there late because I was working. Because the fucking tornado superstorm of 2019 happened 2 hours before WrestleMania, so I had to get my shopping done 30 minutes
that before. That delayed my flight. I got here 4 hours
late. I technically didn't have internet during WrestleMania because of that, so I had to like stream it off of my phone.
Oh, no. The only nit I have to pick isn't so much the match from Buddy Murphy, Tony Nese.
The fact it was on the fucking pre-show.
No, not even that.
Oh, okay.
Because the people were in there. People not even there. That. I think the rematch last night on 205 Live might have been a bit better because it was in a smaller crowd that was chanting 205, that was chanting this is awesome, that was chanting for both the fucking guys.
That's the crowd that doesn't leave because they're there from Germany and fucking France.
Yes.
They're getting their fucking money.
That match was just as good, man. That's my only gripe. I didn't even have to do with the match itself.
Yeah.
That rematch was dope as fuck.
Ooh, Robert has a good fucking point for his disappointment of the night. Thinking Sarah Logan won the Women's Battle Royal.
You stupid man.
God. I bought it too.
No.
I was happy for Sarah. Do I was the like, math. Oh,
do the math. You didn't see Carmella go out.
Yeah, but I forgot about Carmella.
Not me too. I was like,
I forgot about her.
My reaction was, why not Asuka? You should have given it to Asuka. No, I was that guy. I'm like,
my initial reaction was, oh, why not Asuka? But, ooh, Sarah. Yeah. Cool. I'm happy about that. Something new, something different. And then Carmella.
Was like,
not that I don't like Carmella. Yeah. It's just that this could have been a big opportunity.
You don't Corey like Carmella. Like Carmella.
Here's a disappointment. Why did the Homers have to win? I said a good thing. I love the Cruiserweight title, but the fact that, oh, he's from fucking New York. Then the Major Brothers, and then Carmella.
All the New Yorkers were winning.
Carmella's from Massachusetts. But
she's the Princess of Staten Island.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
It's like Undertaker's from Death Valley, motherfucker.
Come on. Which is right up 290.
Yes. the men's battle royal was kind of whack. It was.
They couldn't throw their Riot Squad one bone after being cannon fodder for the women's main event all fucking season. Yeah.
No, thank you, Robert. They'll get there. Now, Ruby Riott's too much of the truth to be silent. They're gonna go to SmackDown. I think the shakeup's gonna be good for a lot of people. Okay. Good for a lot of people, including the now former tag team champions.
We'll get to that in a bit.
Because I don't even know if one of them's gonna be in the reunion.
What about the four way with Black O'Shea?
That was good.
Oh, that was great.
It was good.
It had the right amount of pizzazz.
The match with Black O'Shea from NXT was better.
Oh yeah,
definitely. Oh obviously,
yeah.
But I think there was a just as good story with all the like established guys are like, we're not letting these fuckers win, because they've beaten all of us already.
But if they would have won, that would have been I would have been okay with it because they would have been that's cool, that means they're on the map. But you know,
I think my biggest disappointment was the math. NXT had 1 hour and 58 minutes, 45 seconds of wrestling in 5 matches. The total of the show was 3 hours and 10 minutes. From the opening bell of the cruiserweight match till the end. Well, no, from opening of the main show, 2 hours and 26 minutes of actual wrestling.
Okay.
In a pay-per-view that took 5 hours and 21 minutes.
Half.
Before the pre-show.
I was saying, you're not counting the pre-show.
Before the pre-show. 5 hours and 21 minutes for 12 matches.
That's half.
Now, the reason, hear me out. The easy way to solve the problem that I'm about to give you is just pay every fucking buddy the Mania cut. Mm-hmm. But there were so many matches that were built up on television that could have just stayed on television. If Angle Corbin could have happened the night after Raw. If AJ Orton would have happened to SmackDown after Raw, if fucking Samoa Joe mopped the floor with Ray on the fucking pre-show.
And then put the Cruisers on the main show. God damn it.
Roman and McIntyre. Yeah. It was a decent match.
It was an okay match.
But again,
the crowd ruined it. They were fighting.
Yeah, and just air that shit the night after Raw. Yeah. You know, and you could if you would have shaved an hour and a half off of this show, I could have told you that Mania could have been as good as NXT TakeOver.
Yeah.
That being said, if I'm not comparing it to TakeOver and I'm comparing it to Mania's other Manias,
good.
This is probably one of the best Manias we've had in several years.
I have, because I'm biased because I was at last year's. I think last year's was good because here's why.
I think this is better than last year's.
Well, here's why. I'm going to be biased because just like I'm biased about WrestleMania 17 being the best one ever. I wasn't there, but I'm from Houston. here's the thing. I loved what they took from those people. Their Wrestle Kingdom is wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And it's match after match after match after match. We've had
20-minute intermission.
Yeah, yeah. We've had WrestleManias that are 3 hours long with like five matches on them.
Yeah.
WWE is getting to it's realizing now in 2019 people want to see matches. Granted, they're spectacles. It's WrestleMania. You got to have something.
Here's what they got to have. This quality. Year.
Huh? I would say quality over quantity with matches.
This year would have been the first year that I would have completely understood and maybe even paid if this was a two-night WrestleMania. Have Kofi, Bryan, and Saturday. Have the women end it on Sunday. Add some takeover matches in between on both the cards. And
yeah, I've seen that discussion.
If you think the football stadium's too hard to sell out twice, hey, why not put it in the MLS stadium where the Red Bulls play? Mm-hmm. That's 35,000 outdoors. That's times two. That's the same. That's the same attendance you would have had at MetLife. The crowd would, dude. Just like my complaint last week about Raw, nobody followed up that segment with the police cars and the women.
Yeah.
Once Kofi and Bryan ended. That match was burnt. That crowd was burnt.
Yeah.
For as much as we were all hyped for the women main event, they were crickets. Crickets!
They were tired. Was the women's match the disappointment of the night?
No. It was a good match.
The main event?
It was a damn good match.
It was good.
A bit sloppy.
More than a bit sloppy.
Yeah, but I mean.
That throwback to Great American Bash for Charlotte.
The helicopter, that was cool.
And
86
American Bash.
Man, that match was sloppy, dude.
It was sloppy.
Ronda was
sloppy. I'll let Ronda get away with it because she's not booked as a pro wrestler, she's an MMA. So her being off on some stuff, I would let that go.
And but I don't know if you've seen the pictures.
I can't let Charlotte get away with this.
No, I agree with that.
Ronda Rousey has a broken hand.
She does have a broken hand. Charlotte can't get away with a double natural selection and whiff on both of the fucking girls.
Yeah, both of them.
Bloom, bloom.
She whiffed on both of the fucking girls.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah, that was terrible.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I know that we could try to see if we could forgive this because we're gonna blame the ref, but the botch of the finish itself. I'm happy Becky won.
I
was celebrating that Becky won, but I was like, yay!
The botch isn't on the ref.
It's not. No, he's the one who got fined.
He's the one who got fined.
Yeah, because try to find Ronda, then convince her to stay.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It was Ronda's fault.
In the moment, the ref did exactly what he was supposed to do.
Ronda picked up her shoulder, though. In the middle of that count.
That wasn't Ronda's
fault.
No,
that should have broke the count.
That's not Ronda's fault either. Becky did the move wrong where she landed on Ronda's arm for her to react and move. Had she done the crucifix right, Ronda wouldn't have flinched that way and it would have been flat.
But seeing that, the ref should have waited one more second.
Yeah, should have been one, picked it up. Oh, okay. One, two. Because that was technically two different pins.
That would have confused the crowd just the same as the finish would have anyway.
At the end of the day,
the right woman won.
This is the most I'm going to talk about it. Yeah.
True. The right woman won.
That the WWE did not even try to focus on it the next day.
Right.
Corey wouldn't shut the fuck up about it, which I didn't.
In the moment.
Because I think the production was like, I don't know. Just see what happens. But the next day, nothing. But
that's where I think Ronda goes out, Shayna goes in.
Yeah.
So we have Lacey on Raw for the red belt, And we have Becky versus Shayna on SmackDown for the blue belt.
Okay.
Shayna still as the NXT champion.
Yeah.
Feuding against fucking Becky.
I do love
that. Fucking give Becky all the belts. Mm-hmm.
Should be champ, champ, champ.
Champ, champ, champ. champ, 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 champ.
Becky three belts.
Yeah, Becky
three belts. Is that it about Mania?
Was it? Okay, I know that we talked about the heels.
That was cool. That was cool. Mind you, remember, that was in the block of me not watching wrestling anymore.
Okay.
So it was, I was always, the Thuganomics stuff, I was watching from afar, being like, okay, so he's Marky Mark. That's okay. That's kind of funny. That's kind of cool. But then watching, whenever I would watch, I'm like, yo, I don't know if he wrote these lines or if he's freestyling.
He writes everything.
He's fucking good.
Yeah.
He's that stuff is the reason why shows are good. Of WWE Superstars were on it with Method Man doing the host. Like, it's like Mike Battle of the Mics or whatever, something like that.
Yeah.
Those type of shows are cool, but you could tell are like staged. Cena does it so well that you don't know if it's staged. You know,
we were supposed to get Cena versus Eminem rap battle at 19.
That would not have ended well
for him.
Yeah, Thuganomics would have mopped the floor with him.
Here's one thing that I found disappointing about that. I loved Dr. Thuganomics went out there and he did the whole shtick and everything,
turning heel, quote unquote.
Right, turning heel, but it wasn't turning heel. Yeah. The part that I was disappointed about by it was twofold. One, Cena's not back.
No.
Two, if Cena is back, he's not the Doctor of Thuganomics. This was a one-night thing. The reason why I think this is a one-night thing is because this isn't supposed to be about Cena. This is supposed to be about Elias. Elias is summoning, by accident, all these legends. So it's Doctor of Thuganomics got his ass whooped. Undertaker got his ass whooped. Next week it's going to be, I don't know, fucking Erwin R. Schreister. I don't know. It's going to be like legends.
Jarrett, Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, whoever. It's going to be all these people that he's summoning by accident to get interrupted, and everybody's kicking his ass. We're not going to see more of Cena. That's the only thing that I'm disappointed about this. That's to say that I wish I had more of Dr. Thuganomics Cena.
You, who is a big detractor
of
thumbs up or thumbs down
uh-oh.
That we didn't get Undertaker this year at Mania.
Thumbs up.
Okay. Save it for Raw? Did you prefer it on Raw?
Thumbs up, thumbs down, Undertaker on Raw.
Oh, what the duck?
I'm one of the biggest Undertaker marks you'll ever find.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. I was like, no, honestly, I'm lying now. Once he said, whoever is a dead man, I looked over at my Bianca. I was like, oh, and she's like, what? Wait. Boom. I was like, ah. She's like, I fucking hate you. I'm like, come on. And I was like, all right.
Spirit.
Yeah.
That's how your marriage works.
Yeah.
She hates
you. So, okay. You always mark out with the gong. The day I don't mark out with the gong, I don't want to be alive anymore.
Yeah.
I was like, you know,
the last gong's for you.
Yes, that's my funeral.
God damn it, Dan.
I want to this day, I will proclaim, if I do have a funeral, I want the Undertaker's theme song to be played as I be lowered. Anyway,
Daniel says Undertaker must have got his wig from Sasha.
Okay, let's talk about that. Let's talk about that. Twofold. That's twofold thing. One, Sasha's bald. Two,
Undertaker's fucking bald. I just saw
a picture of Undertaker on his birthday that Michelle McCool posted.
Okay, yeah.
This is what he looks like.
Yeah.
Now, that's either.
There's a reason why we all wear hats.
Yes. Now, was that a wig?
It's a wig, bro.
Extensions, bro.
Yeah, because it started back here.
Well, it's unbelievable. I'm telling you.
Like, I mean, you're getting there, buddy. I'm getting there. You know,
yeah.
What?
You're 30.
What
he's
was
50.
The most memorable part of Raw?
Fuck you.
Is there anything from Raw that you remember?
No.
Yeah.
I don't want to be that dude and say, oh, that was a kind of a lackluster Raw. It sucked.
Well, but, I'm going to say it sucked.
I mean, like, it sucked when compared to other post-Raws because we didn't get those moments. No, honestly, and I'm glad it happened, but I hate how it happened. We got fucked in the main event because I didn't want it to happen. First thing I said was, oh, good, thank God.
I was never so happy to see the bar in my entire life.
Exactly.
Because I didn't want either one of these guys to lose.
That's what I said. I was like, I don't want none of them to lose.
We're going there already, huh?
Yeah.
So there was an easy way to fix that, and the fact that they did it is probably going to hammer a point that I'm going to talk about after I make what I say. you could have easily had the match. You could have easily had this go 20 minutes, 25 minutes. And right when you're about to hit 10 o'clock, shock the system.
Oh, yeah. That would have been cool.
Remember, they're gone. When Seth Rollins and the New Day were heels, they would come. They would have segments together.
Yeah.
So there is a camaraderie there. The four of them main eventing Money in the Bank against Undisputed Era. Mm. And then after the match, have the briefcase winner cash in on one of those two.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's an easy out. Yeah. Easy.
Yeah.
The fact that they did this for ratings so that you would watch the last segment instead of the final four.
Was the highest rated Raw in a long time, too.
And it sucks that they gave you something very disappointing.
Yeah. It you tune sucked. In, you're like, this is why I tuned in. Yeah.
Brooklyn fans chanting for AEW. Brooklyn chants chanting for a refund.
And, this is bullshit.
Yeah.
Although I like Big E's tweet after. Y'all won't be happy all the time.
Yeah.
Yes, bitch. Yes. You are.
Sammy's promo highlighted the biggest problem in wrestling right now is that we are never going to get night after WrestleMania's the way we used to at its peak.
Yeah.
Right now, so many wrestling fans, hell, even me included sometimes, they set the bar too high to the point where if you can't clear it, not only not only are you disappointed, not only does the show suck, man, the roster sucks, the company sucks, everybody sucks. I'm going to another fucking
Yeah.
Because that's the mentality. But whose fault is that? Is that the fans' fault or is that the company for showing a top 10 of biggest surprises Raw after Mania before Raw airs on television to get you up here so that when you get a tag team match instead of a winner take all for the men, you're fucking down here.
Yeah. This is it.
All that being said, I'm glad I finally fucking got a better WrestleMania than the Raw after WrestleMania.
Yes.
Mania should be better than the Raw after WrestleMania. Yeah. I love
should
the
be
Raw.
Better than TakeOver.
I love the I Raw after that. WrestleMania because it's always better than it. This year, finally, Mania was better than the Raw after Mania. Finally.
Yeah, it was good. Mania was good and plus the Raw, but whatever. What's your opinion of – I'm just going to call him Lars for now. I'm just going to jump and be ahead of the trend.
They're going to drop the
Sullivan. They're going to drop the Sullivan.
Yeah.
As a human being
– watch him call him Sullivan.
And then when he's a face, just call him Sully. So as a human being that struggles with anxiety, I'm glad to see my boy up there killing folks.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Even though I have no idea why he's killing Kurt. They're just building him up so that he's a threat whenever he ends up.
He's just gonna start killing fools, which is kind of what they did with Braun for the longest time. He's out there killing fools.
I'm just glad to see him.
Yeah,
and you know what the good thing is? If he did this on purpose, it's fucking genius. If he showed up at the same time everyone else did on January, Nikki Cross, EC3. Mm-hmm. Even if you had him against John Cena at WrestleMania, he would have got lost.
Okay.
He would have got fucking lost. Mm-hmm. So it's good to see him now so that he doesn't get put in a situation that's already crowded to where, if everything's supposed to be a priority, guess what? Nothing's really a priority.
Mm-hmm.
So to see him now, it's awesome. I'm more optimistic now than I was back then.
Three months ago. Yeah.
Exactly.
How do you feel about Lacey? Finally, we get some action out of her. She's going after the champ.
Word has it, the upper management likes her a lot.
I wonder why.
Is that shade?
Of course, yeah.
I fucking hate it. And that's okay.
Is that the political side? Is that the woman's side? Is that the leaning to a certain side?
It's the leaning to a certain side because I actually happen to love Lacey Evans. Great wrestler. Fine. And like just looking like good
a vet character. And a mom.
Yeah. I love her aesthetic.
Exactly.
That rockabilly kind of.
I love it.
She plays it so well with that handkerchief.
Yeah.
She's
great, man.
She was doing all that brawling in her heels.
Yeah.
Damn.
She's badass. I hate to be that guy.
That's going to fuel fans to jump the barricade.
But her is why I loved the aesthetic of the next morning on ESPN, seeing an orange haired short tan girl and a black guy be the main two champions, not a tall blonde, both. And I hate, because I'm hating the people who are when they say, oh, why are you making this about race when it comes to Kofi? Because shut up, bitch, because it is. Now, with this, it's like, okay, one tall blonde rules for 3 years. Then she goes away, Charlotte goes to SmackDown, and then here comes
the short blonde.
Fucking Ronda. Once she's defeated, as Becky calls her,
Ronda's
short,
not blonde.
Come on.
She's blondish.
Come on.
She's not blonde.
She's closer
to red than she is blonde.
Rhonda?
Yeah.
Okay. She is paler than college ruled paper.
Yes.
So yes, you're right.
So not anyway. And as Becky calls her, Charlotte 2 comes out.
She called her that?
She called on Twitter. I showed her on Messenger.
I probably named it
Charlotte 2. Yeah.
The re-charlotting.
Yeah. So you know, Vince has got a type. That's just why you look at the NXT champions of the history besides Charlotte. Was Charlotte even ever NXT champion?
Yeah, she was.
Yeah, the second one.
She dropped it to Sasha.
Yeah, there you go. But you look at historically, the NXT women's champions have been different. The Paige, I don't see what she did with the belt. The Paige, the Asuka's, the Bayley's. She was the first Hispanic chick champion. Sasha, you know what I mean? Those type of people. Shayna's like
different.
Native American or something.
Well, I don't know.
I'm just being racist.
Black hair.
Yeah. They've all been different. But what have we got? Oh, I missed a blonde. Alexa. Exactly.
Oh, that's the short one.
Ember Moon
was NXT champion. Ember Moon.
NXT, but not a.
But exactly. Ember Moon and Kairi Sane. Those have been the different girls. I'm not like most girls. I'm not like most girls.
All right.
Because even I'm not like most girls is Samoan, and Samoans are automatic champions.
Right.
And they don't sell headbutts.
Yes. So.
And they do Samoan drops.
My thing is, you could have brought Shane.
Their drops because they're already Samoan.
You could have, I don't know, turned.
Nikki Cross,
Bianca.
You could have. There's so many people you could bring up.
I mean, not even bring up. Use some of the people you already got.
Yeah, I mean, Raw doesn't really have anybody right now.
Well,
we're hoping for on the.
One thing that I didn't like on Raw is Becky didn't really sell the women's right.
That's the point. Saw it coming.
Yeah,
she was face to face, and she took it.
SmackDown. She fucking rolled when she got the women's right blindsided.
Yeah.
But like the women's right knocked down everybody in NXT. It didn't matter if they saw it. So
she didn't have a lot of competition though.
Okay. Yeah.
That is why with WWE it leads you to believe like, okay, you're in the big leagues now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The women's right isn't enough to take down the champion.
The women's right and a left. But
those putasos.
She's hungry. Give her that two-piece.
Yeah.
I mean, I honestly thought quality-wise, the SmackDown after Raw was better because there was less hoopla. We still got a badass split from Big E, though. That split, boy.
I'm going to say it real quick, and then I'm going to let y'all laugh at me.
You're going to bring it up, aren't you?
You're
gonna talk about the dick in the box, ain't you?
Give me Braun Joe.
Call him bro. Or John.
Give it to me.
I thought you were gonna talk about that damn duck in a box.
No, give me Braun versus Joe all day.
There's something in a box.
All day.
Duck in a box.
It's probably Bray Wyatt.
There was a segment where there was a box
on both Raw and SmackDown.
A box with smoke coming out, and then the box opened, and it was like a puppet, like looked like a vulture, and it was laughing.
Yeah.
Well, YouTube, you know what?
Yeah.
Talk to him. I'm a YouTuber right now.
Yeah, that's literally what happened. It just kind of showed up when they were coming back from commercial break. It looked like it could have been a commercial.
Because I fast forward the commercials,
but it wasn't. It wasn't a commercial. It was part of the show because it happened on Raw and SmackDown. It's just a regular old cardboard box with a puppet, Like how he said that at first I thought was a dinosaur. On second viewing, I think it's a buzzard. Like, here it is. Here it is. This fucking little dinosaur. Yes. Live TV. We're going to get his reaction here. All right. So he's watching it. Still the music. Look, zooming in closer on the box. Now it popped out.
It's a dinosaur.
Is it a dinosaur? Is it a buzzard? A vulture?
What the fuck? Oh! Yeah.
And it laughs.
That's Bray's laugh.
That's Bray's laugh.
It's a laugh. There it's wheezing.
Yeah.
Like it was laughing too much. It was starting to cough.
No, Nicole on Facebook thought it was Marty Skrull.
It's true. Thanks, Bacon. I don't think it's Skrull. Could it be Skrull?
It's not Skrull. His girlfriend's in NXT.
Who? Who's his girlfriend?
Deonna Purrazzo.
Really? Mm-hmm. Oh. Okay.
But what do you remember most about SmackDown since Raw's already oblivious?
Hardy's tag champs. Hardy's beat the Usos. What? Okay.
Not Hardy, dude. Fuck, I want what he's drinking.
Oh, yeah.
Fun the youth. Yeah. I don't like he.
It's the river of youth. The reincarnation.
Yeah.
Dana Brooke. Shut up about Dana Brooke. Scott Thompson.
Terrible Scott promo. Scott.
What? You actually said his last name live? Oh my God. I didn't even know what it was.
Terrible promo. And she's in line for a big push.
Yeah.
Another blonde, go figure.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, she's got some blue in there now.
It's something.
Thanks, killing. The fucking bird.
All right. Okay, behind the scenes thing. I gotta talk because we didn't really talk about the Iconics. No, that was fucking cool. A great moment that they won. Yeah.
The fucking posing that they did. Oh my God.
Paige teasing a new tag team next week, a women tag team.
Right.
Which could be the Butt Pirates. And then
I want them to be in like masks so that they get overlooked and then they like beat them on a fluke or something and then they take off the masks. And it's the Pirates of the Sky.
Yeah.
The Pirates.
What if it's like Jessamine and Duke and
Marina? No, you know, dude.
Or whatever her name is.
Shafir.
Marina Shafir.
I don't want to get my hopes up too much because I wasn't the hugest fan
of.
But for a split second, how would you guys feel if Paige returned?
That's the first thing I actually said.
I wouldn't mind.
Whenever she was like, I'm actually looking at them, I'm like,
why? But
you saw.
Why are you looking at them? Because I'm coming back.
Yeah.
I'm
going to beat them. Yeah. I mean, if you saw Chronicle, you see that she ain't coming back. Mm. But then again, you see Daniel Bryan, you see that she can't come back.
You thought Mr. Leukemia wasn't coming back.
Well, that was, yeah.
But Edge stayed away, so yeah. I don't know.
We got you here right now! Is it a work or was it real?
What?
Leukemia.
Oh, shit.
Oh.
We didn't get to talk about this with you.
No, but.
No, which one?
Give me an answer.
Was it real? Okay.
And the only reason why I'm saying it is because Texans safety, Andre Howe.
We talked about that when he first left.
And he didn't do chemo. He did like an oral thing,
right.
Which is exactly what Roman did.
Right.
If there's anyone that knows about oral,
if you've already had it, So it was kind of a thing. But he had leukemia. Hal had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, but still, it's cancer.
Okay.
So yeah, there's no way.
Okay.
I know that they knew that it wasn't that serious.
Okay. So you think maybe they milked it a little?
Yeah, definitely.
They milked it. It was real, but they milked it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are we done with SmackDown?
Honorable mention: Ali looks fucking great. He had the cool moment when all three of them did the little pose. But Ali winning the match out of all those people, that was cool.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I was getting to about the women, something's going on with Sasha Banks.
Yeah.
She canceled Wendy.
She canceled Wendy. Wendy canceled kind of a little shade at her.
Wendy is in no position to be throwing any shade at
Something happened with her and Alexa.
Because Alexa blocked her.
Alexa blocked her.
They did some vague.
Some petty shit. So,
what was the petty shit?
I don't know.
This is fucking vague tweeting.
So, apparently, what was said backstage is that
I'm too old for that shit.
Sasha was involved in like a confrontation backstage after her match. Oh, like, it, So she had like something happened backstage. She was pissed and so on, so blah blah blah. The next day, she posted a picture of her at Raw with like wearing some Vans, saying like, "If I had to do it over again, would I do it differently?" and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then, originally Alexa was talking shit about Bayley and Sasha and challenged them both, you know, to a match. And then next thing you know, that happened.
Yeah, Bayley showed up, but Sasha was nowhere to run.
Later on that night, or the or early Monday morning. Sasha said,
if you only knew.
Plus, like, what are you scared? She put a screenshot of her being blocked by Alexa.
Yeah.
And then Alexa says, not scared, just done with your petty shit.
This feels a little
like a work.
Like that second layer of kayfabe I keep talking about.
But see, the whole thing with her and Wendy Williams is like,
maybe that's coincidence that they're using that to continue that second layer of kayfabe. Maybe she's just going to make it because she can't get the flight or something happened, or I don't know.
Wendy but said it was a family issue.
Yeah, there's something weird going on. That I'm not hooked.
No.
Yeah. I think it's kind of interesting, but I don't think something's going to come of it. It might be some petty bullshit. Whatever. If you make it into something, then I'll start paying attention. But right now, I'm like,
Okay. Is that five days? Is that it? We're done?
That's it.
I think so.
Okay. So.
You really have been wanting to be done here for a while.
No.
Okay.
Three picks for next week's Superstar Shakeup.
Okay. That's what I was hoping we were getting to.
Go.
Now, preface that with Phillips. Nobody on Raw said it, but Phillips on SmackDown said Raw and SmackDown and brands of that type. Meaning 205 and NXT.
So
Raw?
No, just three people. Three moves.
To shake?
Yeah, three moves.
Three moves. Who's going where?
Three wrestlers. Where are they going?
Shit. Okay, I'm on the spot here.
You go. Do you need a second?
I got one.
Okay.
Buddy Murphy's going to SmackDown.
I got you. I got you one better.
Buddy Murphy's going to NXT.
Buddy Murphy's going to NXT.
That's what the Velvet Team.
That's
team
one, was. Yeah.
Okay. I think he was already in NXT. Now he's on 205. Let him gain another 2 or 3 pounds, be outside that 205, and he's big enough that he can hang with like guys like Ali.
We talked about that last week.
Yeah. So, yeah, that I got one there.
I got one. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if they're ready for it.
Mm-hmm.
Going to SmackDown. Mm-hmm. Pete Dunne.
Because this would be a perfect time.
And with the wrestling brand, look at all the guys that wrestle there that Pete Dunne. Dude, Pete Dunne against his idol, Daniel Bryan.
Going to SmackDown? Roman Reigns.
Oh.
His time is up for SmackDown to elevate that. Yeah, add a little bit of the counter to the wrestling.
Yeah.
So then in that case, Randy Orton back to Raw.
I got another hot take.
I got a hotter take.
The other 2/3 of the New Day. Going to Raw.
Yeah.
So you got Kofi on one, you got Big E and Xavier on the other.
Because they brought that up. Well, usually when they bring that up, they don't do it.
But I could see that is a way to finally make them split. Let Kofi be Kofi. Let him be the champ without there being animosity. Mm-hmm. Because, again, I think that if you ever not break up a crew, but still break up a crew without having a fucking heel turn, now is the time to do it. And you do it with these guys.
Where do you think Ricochet and Aleister are going?
SmackDown.
Together?
Yeah.
Wrong.
I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah. I think Aleister SmackDown, Raw Ricochet.
Okay.
I have a hotter take.
What's up?
Give it to me, Daddy.
Because of contracts? Mm-hmm. I have... What I've always and I'm gonna stick to this. So I hope I'll get this right because there's one guy that has never been in the Money in the Bank ladder match that I want to see in a ladder match. I predict this guy will win the ladder match.
Damn!
Take the title, and when they go to Fox in October, the first person you see on SmackDown, Brock Lesnar.
Man,
brother, that's October. We're talking about next week, bro.
He's fighting Daniel Cormier in July.
And
he's gonna be
he takes the title in 2 months. He
just re-sign a contract.
Cash in Money in the Bank on Kofi, break the hearts, and then have him take the belt
to fucking UFC and defend against Cormier. Oh,
how that,
I've got Lesnar on SmackDown.
That's why I love that Ronda is the champion, because SmackDown, we finally got that spectacle out of the way.
Fox wants huge name brands on SmackDown, and if you're not going to do it with Lesnar, you could do it with Rousey. And have one of those two on SmackDown.
We'll have a baby.
Charlotte to Raw, Bayley to SmackDown. Yes. That's what Robert Medlin says.
Yeah.
Okay. Finn to SmackDown.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, wait, no, but he's an Intercontinental Champion. So you would have to have, what's his name?
Oh, my
Samoa
God.
Joe
oh, my
God. Raw. Samoa Joe and Raw. Samoa Joe and Braun feud on Raw.
Yeah, that could work.
Oh, y'all are going to kill me for this.
Yeah.
Ooh, y'all are going to kill me. Y'all are going to kill me. Finn?
NXT.
NXT UK.
But he's the Intercontinental Ooh. Champion.
NXT UK.
Intercontinental.
NXT UK. Throw him over there with his own kind.
Fuera. Goddamn. Okay. I saw this earlier on the interwebs, somewhere on Facebook. Somehow they'll finagle their way to either on Raw or SmackDown to have all of former members of the Bullet Club together. The Club, Gallows and Anderson, AJ.
I thought they were the rest of their contract.
Yeah.
AJ and then Finn.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? Something we didn't talk about. Talk about people leaving their contracts.
Dean.
We didn't talk about that.
Yeah.
You know why?
Why?
It doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah. Is this because I was under the impression it was work.
So was I. I was. It was kind of like a maybe.
It's so maybe now it's not a work.
Here's the problem. For real? Yeah. Here's the problem. He's gone. I don't care if he's gone. I don't care if he stays.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I have not cared for Dean in a minute.
Ooh,
when you want me to care about Dean, separate him from fucking what's her face.
Renee.
If Renee's on Raw, have Dean on SmackDown. Because
yeah.
it took up until last Monday for WWE's Raw to recognize that they were actually married.
Yeah.
That long?
No, they recognized it before, but they were coming around.
There's a difference.
They did say it.
On commentary, but in person like that, never.
Never.
Yeah. When she came to his aid and stuff like that, never.
Yeah.
No. So I don't care about Dean anymore. Fuck it.
Okay. So anybody from NXT going up besides? What do you think?
Already did it fucking twice. They did it in January and they did it now.
EC3 and Lars.
But
if they would have done
such an influx of talent in NXT, they have to constantly
get some of those motherfuckers out the way so he can get Brennan on NXT.
If I saw a thing where it said Brennan Williams at the
Dark
Sale.
Was it Dark Match?
Yeah, that was like an NXT house show.
But it was a full sale.
But they still have house shows.
I would have had Undisputed Era debut, but still do. Like just as a special attraction, not fully on the brand, and just to further a rivalry. But dude, I think there's too much talent and on the that's already been shipped over, and they haven't done anything with them. So why are you gonna bring more?
Yeah,
like no, NXT is good where it is right now.
Okay,
utilize
what is a Kushida?
The time splitter from New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Do you remember the kid that would dress up as Marty McFly? He has
the light heavyweight. With the orange vest?
Like from Back to the Future? That's his gimmick. He's the kid from Back to the Future.
Yeah, Kushida.
Oh.
Hello, we'll McFly!
He'll probably use his whole his actual name.
No, I know, but like...
Okay.
Okay, why
I'll find you a match on YouTube of him for you to watch.
That's what I was getting at.
Yeah.
What am I expecting here?
He's
light heavyweight.
Light heavyweight. Fast-paced.
Ibushi?
But shorter. No.
Yeah. Shorter and more
agile.
More grapply
and agile. He's a
younger?
Finisher is a
he
weird
young?
Like
no.
His finisher is like a hoverboard lock kind of.
Yeah, he calls it the hoverboard. It's almost like a Kimura,
okay.
But it instead of up against the body, it's away from the body.
Okay.
So it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Okay. He calls it the hoverboard.
Okay. He's legit.
He's good.
Yep. Awesome. Any other predictions for moving?
I would just say that they're gonna break up for sure the Boston Hug connection.
Okay.
I want Rhea Ripley on SmackDown.
I was gonna say Rhea Ripley to debut if Paige
because they already brought Piper Niven to UK.
Now, see, they tag team.
What did they bring up Mia Yim to SmackDown or Raw?
It's Mia Yim's like been tagging with somebody. But then again, these are all house shows. So Brandon tagged with a bunch of people already. He never actually tagged.
He's got like 8 clicks.
Brandon used to be with
Dijakovic with the Ely Brothers.
Yeah. And
now he's got another group.
Yeah. So
he's on rollout.
Yeah. Well, what I was gonna say is Rhea Ripley is always tagged with the chick from the Valley,
the Mexican chick, the
Mexican chick from the Valley, and they make a great team because they're both tall. Oh my God, what is her name?
Scott, you don't have any room to be talking about stereotypes. We call you Scott the Scott for Christ's sake. He's talking about. He's already been given a stupid Japanese stereotype, so don't bother explaining.
I've never seen this. Your friend Scott in the person. But every time every time y'all talk to him, you talk about him, I always think of the guy from the commercials, feed your lawn, feed it. Because, I mean, he's a Scottish guy, and he says his name Scott. Like, I'm Scott.
Feed it.
I've never seen him before, but every time y'all bring him up, that's who I think y'all have. Y'all is your friend.
Ooh, he was here last week. You could have seen him then.
I don't watch him at all.
Would you make a faction with Cesaro, Sheamus, and McIntyre?
You know what we'll call it? Not. The League of Nations.
No,
don't do it. So McIntyre to SmackDown?
He's definitely had, like, he's definitely on the downswing right now. He's not.
I'll tell you this.
After last
he was weekend. Supposed to be.
I'll tell you what. I wouldn't mind seeing Kofi defend the belt against McIntyre at a pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm. Well, right now,
prove that he's not a fluke.
Yeah, the events, but then again, everything's subject to change. But like in the next months, I think it's like for live events, it's like Rollins versus McIntyre and Corbin versus fucking Reigns, which they could both go to SmackDown.
Yeah. Get the thing.
Go play.
Yeah.
Adults
so, Rockstar Spud and EC3 are a thing?
Really? Yeah. Well, allegedly, that's what the rumor is. That well, they're gonna have.
On a dark match, that's what happened.
Yeah.
Drake Maverick was his EC3's manager.
Yeah. So. Which I'm down because that was something in TNA that was pretty cool.
It worked.
Oh, it worked.
It worked a lot.
Glove, dude.
Yeah.
That's it.
Man.
So, since next week is the Superstar Shakeup.
Okay.
We are going to be here. We're going to cover the Superstar Shakeup. We're going to have our regular old Wednesday. Yes, our Wednesday show. So please stay tuned for that. So just same HWR time, same HWR YouTube channel.
Hopefully on time.
So tune into that. We're going to talk about Superstar Shakeup. After that, the much anticipated changes may take place after that episode.
Yeah.
All right, so we're done. God damn, I'm so tired, exhausted.
Yeah, this actually is shorter than I thought it was.
Me too.
Yeah.
I thought we were
going to go into 10:30, 10:45.
Me too.
Scott said I would also take Willie from The Simpsons. God damn. All right.
Wait here, please.
You use me, Skinner.
You use me.
All right. Adios, my friends. Keep it classy. Actually, maybe not the Undisputed Era, since tonight's episode hinted at some dissension.
Hey,
you want to get sued?
All right, Robert.
We have yeah.
NXT tapings going on right now.
Then they did hint at them breaking up. Actually, at Takeover, like if you were there, they said there was like they were looking at you like you. Mm-hmm. Those, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I didn't even hear what you said because I was too busy talking to the mic, and I don't want to know. Era. I don't want to know. Yeah, that's it. Oh wait.
It says COS on Record Store Day.
Woo!
Like your actual ass?
I need to get you. Yes. I need to get you to reserve a couple of things for me. Yeah, Record Store Day is this Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Thrice.
Yeah, I'm getting that EP, The Deeper World. Did you hear the clip? Clippity clip? It's heavy!
Really?
It should have been on the main album.
Game of Thrones put their song on their list for clues.
Playlist, yeah.
For which song? Burn the Fleet.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. Ooh!
That fucking roller coaster.
Yeah. Well, because my tradition's returning. I used to watch Walking Dead and Game of Thrones at Neil's Bar. They have a projector, and they turn the couches around.
But they have stopped doing theater.
Well, they stopped showing Walking Dead. I don't know why, but Game of Thrones, they stopped showing it because there was a fucking year and a half in between.
Yeah.
But the season premiere, I'm back over there.
I get to watch a single second of Game of Thrones. But every year, I'm like, fuck, man, I really wish I would.
There's clips on io9.com that recap every season in like 90 seconds. So if you watch all those videos.
Because I did that for Sons of Anarchy. The season before, that's when I got into it, and I was hooked. So
here's another example of why people hate me. So Walking Dead, I was watching a season of Walking Dead at Neil's, and one of the bartenders that I got along was like, bro, are you going to watch come next week for Game of Thrones? I was like, I don't watch Game of Thrones. Yeah. Like, fuck it, we have alcohol, you know, you're welcome here. So I started Game of Thrones with season 5.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I started, and then I went back and watched backwards. It from the very beginning, Tarantino style.
Yeah.
So by the time I got back to season 5 and Jon Snow got brought back to life, that was the feeling I got with Kofi won. Yeah. Oh, my God! Now that I knew what the fuck was going on. And so the last couple of seasons, I've been watching it locked in step.
Okay.
So this season, I'm ready. You have not enough time.
No. My friend gave me the exact amount of time. I'm like, I don't have that time.
You know what you do have enough time for is watching all the Marvel movies before Avengers comes out, before Endgame.
Oh, yeah.
21 movies in 3.5 weeks.
I watched Avengers without watching any of the other movies.
Really?
What?
I loved Avengers. I watched like one Iron Man movie and the first Avengers movie.
Oh, I guess I'll give you a teaser since we're talking about it. A little pop culture minute. Anybody going to Comic Palooza this year, try to find out what time Travis and I will be airing live at Comic Palooza. We're going to do something that I came up with out of the HWR hat. We are doing a Marvel Madness tournament.
Oh, yeah.
The top 16 Marvel movies by domestic gross are going to be in a tournament, and we're going to pick which is the best Marvel movie out of them. Oh, and shit. I'm telling you, Endgame is going to be in that tournament. Already in pre-sales, it sold like 700,000.
You know, and that leaves people worldwide? Like me out of it, because I honestly think that the X-Men franchise is better than all these motherfucking movies. So whatever.
X-Men 2, Spider-Man 2. Those are hard to top.
X-Men Days of Future Past better than any of these.
Oh, dude, you've been sucking some crooked X-Men dick.
X-Men Days of Future Past.
Nah, that tied up a lot of loose ends.
That said, hey, part 3 never happened. All right, let's get the fuck out of here.
All right, man, let's go.
Yeah, here. Go.
You ain't got to go home, but get the